This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Stand up. Let myself be counted for love, light. What's the amount to stand up? comes a time when you just gotta rise. You've been down so long, you can't remember why. There comes a time when you just gotta stand. You realize inside someone will give you a helping hand. You gotta stand up strong. Say, I'm proud to be me. I've got my own sense of pride and my dignity. There comes a time, and the time is soon. We've gotta find the piper and help to change the tune.
The program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. I interrupted you.
No, go right ahead. And welcome to
After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener-sponsored, commercial-free radio, KPFT.
Houston.
Yeah, whatever. It's past the FCC time, so if this is our ID, we're screwed anyway.
Okay, whatever.
My name is Chris Harrison. I'm here this week.
I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other co-executive producer on this February 4th, 2006 show. And let's talk about the music that we played at the very beginning.
Do we have to?
Yes, we do.
We start off with Farron.
Yes.
And since two is showing,
no,
it means you played...
No, it was one.
I know, I'm saying, because two is showing, it means you played one. That's the only one you pinked up. And that was Stand Up, Asterisk.
Yes, Stand Up.
What says Asterisk? Oh, that one was actually produced by her as well.
Ooh.
Touch her. And that second one was some gay men's chorus. Los Angeles. And they did There Comes a Time.
Yes. All kind of freedom songs. Songs about standing up and taking charge of your life, being responsible for your life. And this, I played those two in particular because an event happened this week, the passing of Coretta Scott King.
Ah.
And no matter what some of the other relatives of the King family may say, there's a quote that the Houston Voice put in this week. And she said this at the 25th anniversary event for the Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund, March 31st, 1998. The quote is, "I still hear people say that I should not be talking about rights of lesbian and gay people, and I should just stick to the issue of racial justice. But I hasten to remind them that Martin Luther King Jr. said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. I appeal to everyone who believes in Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream to make room at the table of brotherhood and sisterhood for lesbian and gay people." So there. I would take the word of the wife of Martin Luther King Jr. over the voice of any of his other relatives. Now, that's that.
I was just looking at...
Oh, yes, yes. Well, first of all,
I wanted to see what you were talking about, and I guess that's what they're calling their...
Yeah, well, first of all, I wanted to talk about Radio with a Twist, because I have had people come up to me that I barely recognize and start bitching about Radio with a Twist that's on Clear Channel, Saturday nights at 10, I believe it is, 10 to midnight.
Now, that's Clear Channel here in Houston.
Yeah.
It's a completely syndicated one, so we can't completely blame CC. You know, there's affinity stations that carry it, there's several different ones there, so it's not just a Clear Channel gig.
Mm.
So, I just want to clarify, because, you know, this station does have a history of Clear Channel bashing.
Really?
And so I just want to say, you know, it's just the station here in Houston that picks it up.
Oh, I'm not... it's not the station that they care about. It's the show in particular. But I've heard comments from What a Waste of Time to What's So Gay About It.
I'll be honest. I have not listened to the show.
J.D. Doyle did a review of the show after its first week, and pointed out that the only gay... First of all, the music that they played, the gay artists were Melissa Etheridge and Elton John.
Okay.
Plus a plethora of straight artists.
Yeah, I think that, there may be problems with that, because I'm hearing another similar thing with... similar situation with Logo.
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that... Their gay music programming they had, you know, used to have gay videos, but now it's more of the straighter artists.
Yes, yes. Now, I ran into someone And this is the first person that I have talked to that actually liked the show.
Hello. Your mic is on.
Oh, okay. My mic is on.
Yes.
Yeah, I really like the show.
And you are?
Travis.
Travis, yes, our young activist. Politically
now
motivated.
Gainfully employed, might I add.
Wow. So, what was it about Radio with the Twist that you liked? And I'm asking you because you're younger, I'm older, I've been through it all. Maybe I'm jaded. Maybe I just don't want to put up with a supposedly GLBT show that isn't totally queer.
Well, I mean, as far as the music goes, playing straight artists, it's what gay people request. I think they call it the Big Gay Five.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the top five requested songs on their website.
Okay.
By the gay community that listens to their show.
Okay, like anything by Cher.
Well, no, I mean, just anything that's on the radio. Basically.
Anything by Kelly Clarkson.
Right. Any. It's basically like top 40 songs.
Yeah.
And then they also have gay artists and the, you know, Madonna and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
not gay artists like you hear on After Hours.
Right. Right. It's much more mainstream. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean it. I just happened upon it one night while I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked because, you know, here it was, normal hours on a normal radio station. And
careful.
Right. How do I put that?
Commercial.
Yeah, a commercial radio station where, you know, they probably took a lot of hits. I tried to call in and say I love the show, and I couldn't get through. The entire 2 hours I tried to call in. So they were probably
to
getting...
To the local or to...
To the local, yeah. Because I wanted to call the local station and say, this is great, thank you. And I'm sure they were getting just as many calls, if not more.
So what's so gay about it?
Well, all three hosts are gay.
Okay.
And then they... Like, each week they highlight a different city. And they have people call in and, like, talk about gay life there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have some... like an advice person who I guess is a lesbian, I don't know, who answers like the different... It's like Dear Abby, but gayer, if you can really... And not campy, but gay.
Oh, okay, whoa. Now, hold on. Let me state one thing about the music selection.
Yes.
I finally found their website.
Mm-hmm.
If you type in Radio for a Twist, with a Twist... You don't find the first one that comes up was some Eastern European radio show.
Well,
now here are the music that you get to choose from. Your top five. It's not completely. You just don't write in whatever you want.
Yeah.
No.
This is a drop down list.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this list.
Yes.
Oh, Eminem. Good choice.
Like I said, it is totally commercial. But I mean, the ads they run as well are a lot of them gay oriented ads. Mm-hmm. Like is it Carnival Cruise? Some cruise line.
Olivia.
I don't know if it was specifically Olivia or not, but I mean. So it not only is the radio show itself targeting gay people, but they're talking about and they do commercials as well, and they do like, you know, this week in gay history. That's how I found it. Like, I heard this, they were talking about this week in history, and it was all this gay stuff, and I'm like, why is everything they're talking about gay? So I kept listening, and I realized what it was.
Ah. So there are some gay segments.
Yeah.
But mainly it's a middle-of-the-road thing, kind of.
It's a little...
To draw in the queers, but not alienate the straights.
It's a little neutered. It's not as bad as Will and Grace, that's for sure.
God, nothing is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... I mean, they do discuss dating, and I mean, not like the semantics of gay sex. Mm-hmm. It's not a how-to.
No, it's not after hours.
Right, but I mean, they do. It's not forbidden.
I see.
So I mean, that's what I like about it. Is it's not totally out there, mm-hmm. which is something that bothers me sometimes about the gay community. But it's not totally neutered either.
Okay. Well, speaking of something that's not totally out there, I happened to see the Pride logo this week. It was unveiled on Thursday night along with all of the nominees for Grand Marshals. You had that website up just a little while ago, PrideHouston.org.
Well, actually, it's not. You won't find the logo at PrideHouston.org.
Where do you find it?
You have to go to SayItOutLoud.org.
Oh. I like that flaming thing that they showed.
The flaming thing?
Like, the Friends of gold. Pride logo.
That's awesome.
Okay.
That's this one here.
I thought that was the logo at first, and I was really excited.
No. The logo is a cartoon balloon that says, Say It Out Loud, in it. And then it points down to nothing.
But see, if it's on a T-shirt, then it's appropriate because it'd be pointing at the cross.
Okay, well, I knew you were going to go there. Okay.
I go there anytime I can.
And the other thing that kind of irked me is that the other side of the T-shirt says Pride Houston 2006. Now, I know that the Pride Parade is for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, and that part has been not done away with, but it's just called Pride Houston. But the only colors on it are the 2006, red, yellow, blue, green. And I'm thinking, what happened to the other two rainbow colors? So what is so queer about this?
Well, have you noticed lately that every gay organization is sort of cleaning itself up?
No.
It's really, I mean,
no, it's republicanizing itself.
Right.
That's
I mean,
what it's
no,
doing.
I don't mean cleaning itself up in a good way. I mean, like, lesbian and gay rights, and I'm not, I don't mean to offend anybody. I have friends in every organization I'm about to mention, and I don't
oh,
want to
yes,
offend any
I
of them.
Do too.
Lesbian and Gay Rights Lobby Texas has changed its name to Equality Texas.
Right.
Okay.
What are we, Dallas? We can't say gay and lesbian anymore?
The Montrose Clinic has changed its name to Legacy Community Health Services.
Well, that's because somebody bought them.
Right, but I mean, why? And I mean, I'm good friends with their executive director and their governmental affairs director. But I don't understand the name. It does not. Montrose, at least everyone understands Montrose means gay.
Now.
Well, if they had Montrose on the Pride T-shirt, then, you know, that would help.
Now, they have actually have alternate T-shirts this year.
Oh.
They have one shirt that says, it takes a lot of pride to wear leather in June.
Oh, my God.
And that is queer how?
Well, who the hell else is going to be wearing leather in June besides a cow?
Actually, there are more straight people into BDSM than gay people.
Well, actually, for
yes,
Pride,
but they don't run
okay.
through the streets doing it. We do.
Okay, for Pride Houston, some of these are a little risque than usual. My Pride is huge. I wish I was your lover.
Okay, so I guess we haven't gone a little cleaner this year. Never mind.
No, I haven't. Those shirts weren't available.
I rescind my endorsement
for sale at the
few larger.
It's just that.
Lose all your pride for some cheap plastic beads.
I'm old enough that I remember
I like that.
Fights over putting gay and lesbian on the T-shirts or not. And in many years, not putting gay and lesbian on the T-shirts won out.
Mm-hmm.
Or one year, they had both. You could either buy it with the gay and lesbian or without the gay and lesbian.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, I think at this point, Pride Parade is sort of understood. It's sort of synonymous
it's understood by
with
us.
No, I mean, I don't think anywhere really you can ask someone what's a Pride Parade and they don't know. I mean, except for maybe like Podunk.
And that's exactly why.
Well, are they going to be here? I mean, are we importing people from Happy Texas? I mean, I don't know.
Okay, they sell a gift card with this guy
a
in a
gift card?
Yeah, little greeting card things.
Oh, okay.
Greeting card, I'm sorry. It's got a guy in leather with the leather hat
mm-hmm.
carrying a whip.
Yes.
And it says, your fifth grade science teacher. Oh, my.
Okay. Oh, now, see, here is where I begin to part ways with the Pride people.
Well, that's not gay at all.
Well, and it's just that, like, you know, how hard do we have to fight for gay teachers and then put that on there?
Yeah, good point.
You know, and it's like, we have the Pride Parade and we want mainstream America to accept us, yet when we have our one big event every year, that's what's there. And it's like, yeah, that's what we're proud of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of, it's like in the Martin Luther King parade, they don't parade every African American inmate through the streets and say, this is why we're proud.
I'm not catching you.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, why do we put the outskirts of our community up?
For the same reason, we have drag queens and Leathermen in the parade, as well as gay Republicans, and...
It's really... No, hold on. It's not really the outskirts, you know. It's...
The minority.
The fact is this. It was, you know, it was the drag queens and the hustlers who started the movement.
Yes.
It's the Leathermen who gather toys in our community for kids that are affected and infected with HIV/AIDS.
Yes.
It's the drag performers that have raised millions of dollars.
Yep.
To help people going.
And so I see no reason why we should put them into the closet for the Pride Parade.
And, and just out of this fear that if we are going to put these people out in the parade, that Pat Robertson is going to show it on the 700 Club and say, these are what the homosexuals are doing in the streets of such and such.
Let me tell you something.
They're still showing the same guy from the 1970 San Francisco Pride Parade who was in the quote-unquote official uniform of blue jeans, a white t-shirt and the pencil thin mustache.
Yes.
If you pulled up his pant leg, you'll see the white sock with the yellow stripes on it.
Yes.
It was any more 70s.
Or if, you know, let's face it, if there was only one drag queen in a parade that had 10,000 people, that's what they would use. So it's ridiculous to try to X them out. Anyway, we need to wrap this up because...
We've got a full show and...
Yes. First of all, we've got Hatch. And in the second segment, starting at about 2:30, we've got Gigi. And he is interviewing some people associated with PEP, the national organization, People Exchanging Power. Now, and also, this is... Membership drive. We have to at least put a few minutes in for membership drive, get the phones going. That's 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT.
You know, unlike when we're talking about, you know, the other station, mm-hmm. the other program out there that, you know, just started up and everyone's, woo! this show's been here 19 years now? We're heading for 19? 18 and a half years. I turned your mic off.
Okay.
comments like that.
Yeah, we have been here since September of 1987.
And we've been here this amount of time. We did it without commercial interruptions.
That's right.
We did it without having to pull someone off of a reality show to host a segment.
And we did it with your help.
And we need your help. You know, you also, I mean, because one of the things you have to look at is we're community radio. And if people think they can get the community represented out in the commercial world, who knows what will happen?
And how many GLBT teen groups do you hear on Clear Channel?
Yeah. You know, I mean.
Or any other commercial station.
John Waters and, you know, the big Gay Five. Madonna, Melissa, Mariah. Ooh.
Oh, please.
I don't remember seeing Melissa in the list. Nope, she's not even on the list this week.
Melissa Etheridge is not even on the list.
She's not even on the list. You can get INXS. Kelly Clarkson.
Of course.
She's on there twice. Sheryl Crow. Well, she's single now.
I know, but anyway...
But the fact is, we don't do that sort of stuff.
No.
You know, we give you... You know, I'm seriously debating the fact we're going to be... We've got CDs here. We're going to be playing Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Because we're giving away the CD.
And from the movie Transamerica.
So, the fact is that, you know, we don't play those names you hear all the time. We give you a chance to hear the different kind of queer music
mm-hmm.
that you're not going to hear on a commercial station. You're not going to hear, you know, some of these people you don't even hear about in the gay media.
That's right.
And that's
what, and speaking of the gay media, I mean, we're getting kind of poor with the print media in Houston. I noticed that the Houston Voice was 20 pages this week. It's the smallest it's been in a very long time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, 7 full pages were ads, plus smaller ads.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's shrinking down. We've lost TXT. TXT emerged into, what the hell was it?
Nothing.
The Triangle and...
The Triangle. The Triangle and...
The Eclipse?
Not Eclipse, that's The Voice.
Whatever.
You worked there.
Something.
We've all, you know, 2 of them consolidated, and then it became TXT, and then poof.
Yeah.
You know, I got another email about a rumor that Twit's still floating around somewhere.
Don't count on that.
I'll consider the source it came from.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I find more usable information in the Jam.
And that comes out that's biweekly.
Yeah.
Is Red still around?
Yes, but that's only
Red's
monthly. And that's really a bar.
Yeah, you know, and The Voice... The Voice is Sovo West.
Well, I got that quote from Coretta Scott King from The Voice.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but still, that's probably the section written by Atlanta.
Anyway.
That's why I'm saying Sovo West.
Anyway,
we do our stuff here.
We need your support more than ever now, and that number is 713-526-5738. We already have 2 pledges already, and they were from people outside of the Houston city limits. We've got Ron from Tomball, and we've got Tommy from Magnolia, with both of them giving us very generous support here. So,
and I think I heard the phone ring. So we need people, you know, we need for the community to show support. You know, show your pride isn't just marching down the street with a T-shirt on or throwing beads or all that. We need you to show your support and show that this is a viable and a reasonable thing.
Absolutely.
713-526-5738.
We've got Hatch waiting in the wings where I want to hear that first phone call come in.
Actually, we did hear a phone in the background.
You did hear a phone call?
Yeah.
Well, let's...
We got a shout-out from Scotty.
Hey, Scotty.
He said he loves the show. He says he loves the fact that y'all say really weird stuff and that the show is awesome.
Thank you. Have we had any pledges?
No.
All right.
No pledges.
So we need your pledges support. Like I said, we've got a full show tonight. Yeah. I don't even think we're going to hit round table.
No, probably not.
Probably not. So, are we even going to try transitional, or are we just going to go right into Hatch?
I think we need to go right into Hatch because we were probably...
Hatch, are you ready?
We're going to have to interrupt them at the top of the hour to talk more about membership drive.
Is Hatch ready? Ready?
Oh, yeah, they're ready.
Hatch, you're on.
Hello, nice. Hatch. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, this is, we're Hatch.
And what's your name?
I'm Pamela, uh-huh. And we have a couple of announcements we're going to make before we start our show, and then we're going to go right into it.
Okay.
So, here we go. We're Hatch, and we want to let you guys know, if you want to join us in our meetings, you can call 713-529-3590 or go to www.hatchyouth.org to get screened so that we can make sure you can come to one of the meetings and you'll get to know where it is and when it is. Again, that's 713-529-3590 or www.hatchyouth.org.
Can you kind of briefly explain the screening process? Because I don't want people to think, oh, they're going to call my mother or something.
The screening process is only you can only come to Hatch if you're between the ages of 13 and 21, and if you're too old, it's just a legal thing, you just can't be there.
Yeah, well,
and so we
old.
Should make sure that you're not going to come and try to hurt the youth and all those kinds of
right.
nice things. So
right.
that's all the screening process is.
Okay.
But, yeah. Okay, we also want to remind everyone who is a part of Hatch that our Valentine's dance is going to be on February 10th, and the Mardi Gras party is on February 24th.
Whoa, lots of good stuff going on this month.
Lastly, for all the GLBTQ youth and their allies, the National PFLAG scholarship deadline is approaching. It's February 14th. However, the PFLAG Hatch scholarship will continue until May 1st. So you still have time for that if you want to sign up.
Okay.
So now we're done with our announcements. We're going to go ahead and start and introduce ourselves.
I'm Dustin, and I'm 18.
I'm Sean, and I'm 16.
I'm, again, Pamela, and I'm 17.
I'm Travis, and I'm 18.
I'm Michelle, and I'm 18.
And my name is Brendan. I'm a facilitator for Hatch.
How old are you?
We'll not talk about that. Thank you very much.
Old enough to qualify as facilitator. There we go.
You have to be at least 40, right?
No.
No. No. 25.
You have to be over the age of 25.
Brendan, he's an overachiever. He goes above and beyond.
There you go.
He's not
young enough to have to.
Hell, Brendan's here when you guys aren't.
That's okay. You were here when we weren't, too. Years and years ago. Love you, Jimmy.
Alrighty, well, tonight we're going to be talking about the youth's perspective on gay marriage and gay parenting. So we're just going to talk about what we think, so hopefully you agree or disagree with our views. Either way, get over it.
Can I interrupt?
If you want.
You heard us talking earlier.
This is Jimmy, he's 57.
Eight. I had a birthday.
Try to help a sister out, damn.
You heard us talking about Radio with a Twist. Have any of you heard it?
No,
never.
Oh, you gotta! It's tomorrow on Mix 96.5 from 10 to 12.
Okay, well, then we'll listen.
Alrighty. And report.
Oh, yes, okay, we'll report. There you go. Y'all are really quiet, guys.
So y'all gotta start. I talk too much.
I do.
I talk for a living, y'all. Come on.
I don't like going first.
Okay, so Sean, what are your views on gay marriage? What do you think about gay marriage, Sean?
Let's start. Are you for or against?
Well, like, at first, you know, I was like, you know, everything should be fair, but as I started hearing more views, and I started viewing, just like, looking at most of the couples I see and how their relationships work, and what's really sad is, you know, I'm caught in between, you know? It's just, in a way, most of the time I see it's not promising, you know? The relationship, the people, you know? The way they act with it, but at the same time, it's like, I see the ones that really have made it work, you know? And there's hope, so I'm just in the middle, I'm not sure.
You go both ways?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey. Don't say that when Travis is around, you know he's gonna twist it.
Gay parenting.
So, what do you think about gay parenting?
Me?
Yeah. You could say you don't know if you don't.
I don't know. Not right now.
Okay. Can I go?
No, not yet, Travis. You're going last. You talk way too long.
I had a kid.
What do you think, Michelle?
Oh, yeah. How'd I know that was going to happen? Gay parenting or?
Both. Either one. You want to talk about?
Well, for gay parenting, I was always brought up that it's, you know, man and woman is traditional, but I feel that if you have the money and you're capable, that you should be able to, no matter who you are and who you're with.
Mm-hmm.
Single parent, same-sex couple, traditional man-woman.
Okay. So what do you think about gay marriage?
I honestly think it'd be fair.
Okay.
But I'm just nice like that. So,
okay. Well, that's completely okay.
Not asking you your opinion anymore.
Sean, be quiet.
Sorry.
Okay, Travis. You know what? Since you got that pouting look on your face, go ahead.
No, I'm not pouting. I'm listening. Which is not something I do often see. But
yeah,
mistook the look.
As soon as I go, you're really gonna have a lot to say. So
I have a lot to say already. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, then you know what? I'm just gonna go. Okay. So I really. Controversial view, especially on gay marriage and marriage as a whole.
Are you one of those abolish marriage and people?
No, I do not think we should abolish marriage. However, I do think, there's a lot of controversy there because I don't personally understand how people can claim certain religions and homosexuality. I don't personally understand it. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I personally don't understand it. What, Travis?
Give me five.
So, anyway, but that's just my personal opinion, and one thing I really do feel very strongly about is that I think there should be separation of marriage, and in a way that there should be a legal marriage for legal documents and purposes such as taxes, but then there should also be a ceremonial marriage, in which case someone could be married under whatever name or object or whatever they feel like being. If I felt like being married in the name of God or Allah or Buddha or
that rock in San
Mario, or Mario for any reason, then yes, I could. But I think that there should be a separation in that respect, and I think that would also help delete some of the controversy with gay marriage, because a lot of people think it's legally okay, but religiously it's just an imposition on their sanctity of marriage. You know, it's just not the same thing. It's not sanctified. And I think with the separation of that, it might kind of open people's eyes, but that's just my opinion. Now, on gay parenting, I'm currently dating someone who's fairly older than
I am. Well, we don't need to go there.
But,
not during Hitch.
Shut up. But she has two kids from a previous marriage. She was married to a man for a certain amount of time, and now they're not together. And now I'm with her, and she has two kids. So her kids are very aware that she's a lesbian, and that she's very open about that. And they know me, and, you know, we all know each other, and we're all one big happy family. In the future, she and I, you know, if we're together, which, in my opinion, we will be, plan to have a kid together. One, because I really don't want to have more than that. But, you know, some people do, and I think they should have the right to do that as long as they can prove reason to have a kid. And, you know, or if you had a kid before marriage, I think you should be able to, or before, you know, you get divorced from your husband like she did, that you should be able to keep your kid, and it shouldn't be on, it shouldn't automatically go to the other partner. But, you know, I also think that even in heterosexual marriages, if you prove you can't handle a kid, you shouldn't be able to have one. So,
in saying you shouldn't be able to have one, do you think the state or the government should be able to come in and say, it is our opinion that we think that you cannot have a child, therefore we're going to sterilize you, or we're going to take away any children that you might have.
No, but I think there should be a mandatory birth control. They should be made to go to an appointment.
That's what we have CPS
for. Oh, my God.
That's and what then,
we have CPS for. Am I really hearing a woman say this?
Yes.
That's the most offensive thing I've ever heard in my life, but okay.
One of the things that makes it a concern is that you're actually saying you think the government should be able to make those decisions for people.
Okay,
well, but I'm just saying, like, if a woman or if a couple can very obviously not support a child, if they don't have jobs and they're, you know, hyped up on crack all the time, and they're severe alcoholics, and they won't get their act together, and they've tried to go to rehabilitation, I think there should be some intervention there. And that's only because I've seen parents who are like that, and I've seen their kids, and it's more offensive than what I'm saying right now. That's all I have to say. You know what
this
I mean?
This message is brought to you by the Log Cabin Republicans of America.
Shut up.
We're
not talking just in gay marriage. You're talking in just straight
marriage. Yes. Just in, well, no, I'm talking about parenting.
Yes, around.
Yeah, Pamela, I'm wondering where you draw the line. Or is it a point where, okay, you're poor, but we think you're a little too poor, so we're going to sterilize you.
No.
We're going to make you go on mandatory birth control.
It's not.
Or you don't have enough money to have procreate, so you won't have children.
It's not about money. It's about
if you
have a serious addiction problem that you're not even willing to take the steps to get over, then I think there's an issue there.
Let's go back to gay stuff.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, how do you feel about gay?
You're making my blood pressure rise, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, you know what? I think gay parenting should be allowed as long as there isn't going to be some situation where...
The same moral code as straight people, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No different.
So, totally equitable.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there you go.
Senor?
Yeah.
I really have just one opinion on all of it. I am for gay marriage very strongly. I was raised in a very Christian home, which you were talking about. I do believe in God and in the Bible, but in some aspects of it, I do not. I do believe that this is America. This is the land of the free.
I think everyone here believes this is America.
Why shouldn't we be free to marry who we wish? I mean, who has the right to tell us who we love and who we don't love? It's not our fault who we love.
Travis, don't do that ever again.
I mean, it really gets to me sometimes because you see couples that have been together for years that look like the happiest couple in the world, but they can't get married because they're gay or lesbians. Mm-hmm. And then you see straight people that just
shack up in Nevada.
Yeah, and shouldn't be together because all they do is hit each other.
Yeah.
I mean, and then we're the one people come after. No, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. I think it should be. I think everybody should be able to get married to who they want, as long as they can afford it, and as long as they can afford the divorce and whoever gets what in it.
Yeah.
Gay marriage, I know many people
that was just gay marriage.
I mean, gay parenthood.
Okay.
I believe you should be able to have a kid, either your own or adopt one, as long as you have the money to support the kid. I know many people that was raised in same-sex families, and they turned out, most of them, better than I did. I mean, I don't talk to my family at all because of the way I am. I mean, if the family loves the family and they want a kid and the kid loves them, why should we stop them?
Well, see, I don't think you should stop them in that case.
I was expecting something a little more controversial from you. But, okay.
Well, I decided to keep it a little bit.
Okay.
Well,
for now.
Outside of this room, that might be a controversial statement.
Well, maybe. okay. So.
So it's all down to Travis now, and we all know he's big bad wolf, so...
Once you say something, I'll come back.
I just hate gay people, y'all, seriously.
Amen, no, I do really. Too.
Travis, execute
no,
you.
No, I'm as gay as the day is long, the only day for
oh,
you.
Oh, don't even lie. Your
I'm not.
Nickname is straight
I'm
boy.
So straight.
My nickname is straight boy. But, okay, so, gay marriage. First, we need to talk about gay divorce. I mean, really. That I'm honestly, I've seen some of the most bitter breakups among gay people.
I agree.
I mean, it's horrible. And you know, when you divorce, you split up everything you own in two. You know, that means some queen out there is going to lose his Elton John's greatest hit CD to his husband. You know, I mean, that's, I think first we need to look at divorce and how it works and if it's really something we even want to get involved in. Do I support gay marriage? Yes, of course. It's just... duh. To me, it's a total non-issue. You know, abortion was the new... gay marriage was the new abortion. And now immigration is the new gay marriage, which I'm wholly thankful for. Gay marriage is done with for the next 10 years, and we're going to move on.
God.
We're going to move on to immigration as a wedge issue, which is fine in my opinion, because we need to do something about it. But, different topic, sorry. I don't support civil unions at all, because the only thing that does is create more... it just creates another government agency, and it means we have to employ more people in the government, and it'll cost taxpayers more money for something that's basically marriage by a different name, but you'll have to have a whole nother department for it, which I'm just totally against. And it's also separate but not equal, and you know, we got rid of that a while ago. Well, and
one question, why would it have to be a different department?
I mean, are we really gonna have people who do the marriages do
well?
There's
no department of marriage. In Texas, it's the Bureau of Records. Okay, it's not like we're not saying we're all it means is that
it may not be another department, but we'll have to hire more people.
All they got to do is when they type it into their computer, they switch. They either push the button that says marriage or civil union.
I mean,
yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe not.
Hold on. We're not talking about 1950s where you had to sit down at a typewriter and stamps and seals and all that.
Right.
We're just talking about a simple piece. We're talking about a piece of paper.
Yeah.
You know, we keep talking about marriage as this institution, this ceremony, this laying on of hands and things. Actually, what marriage is a piece of paper that nowadays comes out of a laser printer with signatures already pre-printed on it, and all they have to do is, you know, it's a simple mail merge on whether it says certificate of matrimony or certificate of civil union. It's no extra effort.
Actually, you do have to have a ceremony by someone. It can be by a justice of the peace. It can be by a rabbi, priest.
Now, you're talking marriage now.
Marriage, yes. In the state of Texas, a boat captain, even. I don't understand that one.
In the state of Texas, all you have to do as a married couple is a man and a woman, you tell three people that you are married, and it's a common law marriage.
Well, you introduce your name to the lamb. You live in the same house for 6 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
So, that has all the benefits of marriage.
Yeah.
So...
It does. But...
I'm just saying that, you know, I understand where you're coming from. But your reasoning, there's some flaws to the logic.
But it would create just more, another layer of the government.
What it would create was be another $40 per couple. You know, we had 1,000 people go down for the gay marriage rights thing. You know, that was $40,000 that the city of Houston turned away.
Mm-hmm.
Because, or actually, since it was couples, you know. Well, it goes to the county.
$20,000.
$20,000 that was turned away.
Right.
So,
and,
you know.
Okay, and as far as gay parenting, this is where it gets bad, and I apologize. I think gay people make great parents. My boss has 3 kids. She's a lesbian. She's a single lesbian. And I think she's one of the greatest parents in the world. And actually, there have been some recent studies that show that gay people... children of gay couples and gay people actually tend to come out a little more happier.
Educated.
You know, and just happier people all around. Higher self-esteem, whatnot. But, from a scientific perspective, I disagree with the concept of homosexuals reproducing. I think adoption is wonderful, and I plan to adopt. But I do not think... I believe that homosexuals are the evolutionary fix to population growth. I think we're a check upon the population. And therefore, I think us reproducing defeats the evolutionary purpose. And I'm just against that. I have no problem with gay people parenting. I think it's great. I just, and I don't hold it against people who reproduce. I don't ostracize them, you know. It's just, I wouldn't do it. And that's just my belief. And I don't hold it to anybody. I really don't.
Well, that's good, because no one would reproduce with you.
Oh, I know. No.
I mean, I actually agree with that in some aspects of it. I do agree with it now since I've heard it. I never thought of it in that perspective, but...
And I used to work at the zoo, so, I mean, there I got, like, I got a different insight on evolution and how it works and what really goes on. And... that's just my thing. And like I said, I don't expect anyone else to listen to me. That's just one of my things that I kind of see the world as.
Well, I kind of think that's a fun topic. Does anyone want to expand on that?
On what topic?
Yeah, let's go on that.
The population control, evolutionarily speaking, the reason we have gay people is for somehow the population to naturally control itself. I think that's a fascinating concept. So, what are people's thoughts on that? I'm just curious.
I mean, I think it's kind of interesting, and I think that it's a really different way to look at things.
It
could be a really, you know... It's kind of a profound statement, but it could be a really honest and truthful statement.
And
if you look at it from perspective, like I know Travis does.
And I would like to say, I have never researched this. I hate biology. I have never looked any deeper into this than my own thought process,
which I will tell you
is a little odd at times. But, I mean, it's just the way I feel. I wouldn't do it. I don't hold it against people who do.
It's just, I'm just curious because it would seem like as the population grows, then somehow there would be a higher percentage of gay people to help control the population. It seems like that follows your line of thought, and I was just wondering if that's a natural step to what you were thinking.
Well, but we also have to consider the fact that more people are being out, and so more people aren't worrying about it. And in the past, we've had a huge gay population that has been married in heterosexual marriages,
right,
that have had kids because it was an expectation.
Right.
Now it's not so much because it's more open. I mean, it still is in certain areas,
yeah,
but it's a lot more open than it used to be.
Yeah.
And we have everybody in the gay rights movement to thank for that.
Right, absolutely.
You know,
I don't necessarily, I mean, I've never studied this either, but I've never really thought of homosexuality as a genetic trait. I mean, I will say it does appear in some families in a large number, but then again, nowhere else in my genetically related family does it appear that I know of. And I know a lot of my cousins, and I do not know of one single one of them that is gay other than me.
I agree with that subject. Nobody in my family that I know of that's, like, full-blooded is gay. My dad is just now got introduced into it, and he openly accepts it. But
wait, your dad
just got opened up into... Never heard, really, of homosexuality.
I thought you were saying your dad was just coming out.
No.
Okay.
My dad
is... I was like, well, I would count that as someone who's blood-related to you, but...
My dad is totally straight, but I do have two half-brothers that are younger than me that are gay, and my family likes to try to think that I'm the one because of me and the way I turned out. I do believe that we can't control what sex we are attracted to. I mean, if we are a gay man and we're attracted to a man, it is just what we are attracted to in our body. Nothing was done wrong with us.
Right. No, it's not nurture at all. I have an identical twin brother who is straight. I mean, you know, and if it were nurture, we had the exact same upbringing. You know, our parents divorced at the exact same time. I mean, you know, it wasn't like my parents divorced at 4, his divorced at 6. No, we're identical twins. We had the exact same upbringing, exact same households. And I can recall early memories from childhood of what I didn't realize was homosexuality then. But now I look back and I go, well, yeah, I mean, I had a crush on this kid when I was like 4 or 5. You know, I mean, it... So I don't. I definitely think it's inborn. I think it's an inborn trait.
I definitely don't think it's an upbringing either. I mean, if it was upbringing that constitute the way you came out,
yeah.
I was raised in a totally Christian home. Never heard of homosexuality unless if it was in the Bible and it was a sin. Never do it. You were condemned to hell. And I'm as gay can be now.
Okay. You know, consistently the research has shown that kids that are raised in gay parenting homes have no more percentage of being gay than kids raised in straight homes or heterosexual or traditional homes.
Yeah.
So, and that's something that is shown over and over and over in regards to research. So people should know that. I lost my next train of thought.
But a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people think if you're raised by a gay couple that you're going to turn out gay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen, like, many TV shows are open up gay-oriented now. Like, I know MTV does a lot of gay-oriented shows.
Yeah.
And one of them they did was True Life, I Have Gay Parents.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of them, well, the kids were straight, but they had gay parents. And everybody, one of the guys actually said, everybody always comes to me and says, because you raised in a gay home, aren't you gay?
Yeah, that's the assumption a lot of people make.
But in a sense...
Don't you wish it were that easy?
Yeah,
to
right.
To turn them, we can just... You know.
I mean, come on.
Sure.
I mean, and I mean, the fact,
sorry.
I mean, we're still human beings. We still have our own feelings.
Right.
Why should, I mean, people interfere with the way we feel? I mean, it's the way we feel.
Oh, the other thing I was thinking, in understanding recessive genes and recessive traits and how they express themselves, it's not unusual. You said it runs in families. Because of the nature of recessive genes, they're not going to show up in every offspring.
Right, right.
And depending on how hard it is for those genes to express themselves in the phenotype of the offspring, then they're not going to show up a lot of times, and it's not going to be every brother or every cousin. So
if you use one more biology vocabulary word, I'm going to snap.
I'm in big trouble.
Sorry. Phenotypes, it's not after 8 p.m., sorry.
No, that's like 12 for you, really, huh?
So, I mean, if you don't have a brother or a sister or immediate offspring that's gay, that's not necessarily an argument that it's not a genetic trait.
Right, yeah, right. It's not. No, but I'm just, like...
It's just an opinion.
It's odd to me because it seems so 50-50. I mean, I don't know the studies or the statistics. God, I just don't study this at all, do I? I have all these opinions that I can't back up any of them.
Yeah, you should put that.
Yeah, that's why they're opinions.
I really should. Well, I can back up most of my opinions, not when it comes to gay people.
I don't think any of us can on that one, Travis.
Well, Travis, it's the political side of you. You have a lot of ideas, but no idea how to implement.
Hey, you know what? Okay. We're the party without vision, right? But it just seems so...
Lights are
on. Every gay people either do or don't have gay family. There seems to be no pattern to me. I mean, I know one guy who his parents have two sons, they're both gay. And then I know some people who don't have any gay family. And I don't really understand the pattern of it. And if it's genetic, it seems like it would show up in more than it does in a genetic pool.
Yeah.
That's what I've never understood about it. And and my brother and I are not case in point that it's not genetic. That's what a lot of people tried to tell me, that because we are genetically identical, obviously it's not genetic. No, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
Because genetics is very hit or miss. And, you know, I have webbed toes and he doesn't. That's a genetic feature. And it just, no, I cannot. God!
There's another thing going on about, like, my family, for one. My mom blames me being gay on things that I heard when I was a kid. People calling me gay when I was a kid. You're gay, you know, blah, blah, blah. They believe that you hear it enough that you're going to start believe it. And in some aspects, I believe that's true, but, I mean, if you're straight and you're attracted to a woman, no matter how many times you hear that you're gay, your feelings ain't going to change dramatically.
Yeah, y'all have called me straight so many times.
Right? And you're not straight,
especially when
Travis,
we meet your brother.
No, he's definitely thinking about having sex with a girl.
But, I mean, on your aspect, Travis, about that, I follow the same line. I have a friend who has, they have 15 kids. And my family's known them for four generations.
I don't want to adopt that many.
And none of them are gay, except one of them. And he's dead middle. He's the middle child of all of them. And for four generations back, there's never been nobody gay in that family.
That's been out. We'll see, there you go.
Well, still out. I mean, most of them are still alive.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. I need to step in here for one moment and let everyone know that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on Listener Sponsored. Commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. The reason why I emphasize listener-sponsored is this is Pledge Drive, and we need your support to let the powers that be know that this show is... that we've got listeners out there, that we're not just broadcasting out to Huntsville and Rocheron and all the other points out west where... You know, the receptionist counted on how many bars are in the cell. We need people who are out in the free world who want to hear the type of programming that we have here. Discussions of real life in our community here, locally produced. Whether it's hit or miss, you know, we're live, we're local. Yeah, I think we're interesting. So we need to call in your pledge of support at 713-526-5738. And whatever amount you can, starting at $35, $25 for students. And the most important part about that is the board of directors who decides what happens at the station and where it goes is voted on by the listeners. And when you participate in the pledge drives, you become a voting member. So you get, to, in a way, to steer how this station runs and how the network itself runs. So, once again, 713-526-5738. We've got operators out there who, please, call them up so that I don't have to go out there and tell them to be quiet because I can hear them through the door. So call in your pledge support, 713-526-5738. And now we return to Hatch, already in progress.
There you go.
Back to the regularly scheduled programming, huh? So, yeah.
So, yeah.
Gay parenting and gay adoption. Or gay parenting and gay marriage. Gay marriage. Do y'all want to get married?
I do. One day I do want to get married. I would like to have somebody to settle down with. I mean, I was engaged last... it was
okay,
a year ago.
Okay, wow. All right, then. That's great. That's scary.
Hey, don't judge.
Why is it scary? I mean, I was with the same person for 8.5 years.
From when you were 9 to when you were 17? Oh, wow. Okay. That's insane.
I knew at a very young age, yes.
Hey, you know what? Boy Meets World, Topanga and Corey, they made you choose to get over it.
They got canceled.
Okay.
They are still on air. It's on the Disney Channel 41.
Okay. Thank you.
When you've gone into syndicates, you're done.
Anyway.
Sean, do you want to get married?
Yeah, I want
not to me. that's not what I meant there.
Not many people do.
Ooh.
Yeah, Travis, that's kind of...
Actually, nobody.
It's an argumentative subject, though.
Sorry.
I was about to say, yeah, I want to get all this out of my system before I get married someday, but then I realized, hey, that's what you're here for.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
But yeah, I do want to be with somebody someday. I want to be able to, you know, just, you know, be with somebody someday, marry, I guess, but... Yeah, I mean, someday I'd like to know that someday I can get married, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can still be in a committed relationship.
Yeah.
Without the marriage.
Honestly, I don't know if I would ever...
And then you're not legally tied down, either.
Right. I don't know if I would really... I don't know if I would honestly go and sign the marriage certificate if I could. But... And the fact, like, I have different issues. Like, I believe in gay marriage, but I can't honestly say that I would... go get legally married.
You hear that, guys? He just wants to shack up. No strings attached.
No. But if I ever wanted to, I would want to be able to have the option of doing it and not just being told, no, you can't do this.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's not so much that you may actually use the right, you would just like the right to be there.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I don't need a piece of paper to tell me that I love somebody and that I'm married.
But you need that piece of paper to tell... you that if you get half.
That I get half. Yeah, that's the only thing. That's what prenuptial agreements are for.
Well, we fought prenup.
That brings up
I dedicate that to State Representative Anna Hernandez, sorry.
Of why gay marriage is important. Why gay marriage is having that option is something that's real and important and something that isn't we should pursue as a community. One thing is, of course, inheritance rights. The other thing is if your partner is sick and in the hospital, you need visitation rights.
But you get it in most hospitals down here.
You know what? I think that's probably true.
Out in A-Leaf, I had a friend that got really, really sick, and him and his partner has been together for close on 12 years. And he got really, really sick, and they allowed him to stay by his side. He signed documents and everything.
Well,
for him.
You can do it legally if you do, like, a physician's directive. And
I mean, anybody can put power of attorney into their spouse. I mean, whether you're legal or not. I mean, you can put your life insurance in their name.
And, right, and that's where you defer to the good judgment of other people. They're not...
Mm-hmm.
Required to allow you to do that.
Excuse me, I don't trust the good judgment of other people.
I mean, you can basically have the same rights of being married without a marriage certificate. I mean,
yeah, but do you know how much it would cost in lawyer's fees? I mean, that's what, probably about 20 documents minimum.
It's just the fact that you're known as the person who can go in there, you know?
I mean, okay.
Get that stuff,
let's say.
You're known as the person who's
married. You won't be the person who can be prohibited from going in there. That's an important distinction.
You can make it easy and just put in your certain power of attorney over to your spouse and just just leave one will. Everything's given to them.
Right, but the thing I'm saying is this, okay, say I was married to someone. Or, okay, now, you know what? Your negativity is really bringing me down here. And when someone else's negativity is screwing with me, it's bad. No, I mean, say I've been say I've been dating a man for like 10, 15 years.
Right.
And I die without a will.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Because in 15 years, I'll only be 33. You know,
if you're throwing that
then everything goes to my family.
Right.
But if we were legally married and I didn't have a will, everything goes to him. There is absolutely... Yes.
No, they can't contest the will. If there's no will in play, they can't contest it.
No, because if there's no will, there's no will to contest.
The family can contest the right of the stuff.
I think that's only if he has children. The children can contest the will.
No, what I'm saying is this, is if I have a will, I can leave it to whoever I want.
Yes.
If I don't have a will, it goes to my closest living relative.
Right.
If I am married... It goes to my husband.
Okay, so I was thinking about the children.
So what I'm saying is this, is I shouldn't have to have a will. I shouldn't have to have a directive of, you know, saying that my partner can come into my hospital room.
Right.
No, you shouldn't.
That's BS. And that's, I'm saying, you know, yeah, sure, we can do all this, and it's fairly simple.
But we have to do it separately.
It's costly. Lawyers are expensive, and, you know, it's time-consuming, and it's discriminatory.
Yeah.
There's no reason we should have to do it. We can, yeah. I'm not saying, like, we're downtrodden people who have absolutely no rights and no access to them. What I'm saying is that we have hindered access to the rights that really should just be on the table.
Here's another thing. If you die... your family can decide what to do with your body, not your partner.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you were married, you'd have your partner.
I mean, I believe in gay marriage 100%, but I believe that, I mean, I just for the simple fact of people should be able to make the choice if they want to get married or not.
Right.
It shouldn't be told yes or no.
Well, it's not like if they legalize gay marriage that all gay people would be required to get married. I mean, they still have that certain choice.
I mean, we had the amendment to sign to legalize gay marriage, and I know of at least about 500 gay men that did not go down there and vote because they didn't think their votes would count. And how many did we lose by? How many votes did we lose by, like, 4?
No.
Not in the state of Texas.
No.
No, not in the state of Texas. I'm not talking about the state of Texas. But we didn't lose by four votes anywhere. If everybody, the fact is, if everybody would that wants to contest and say that they want to get married or they want the right to have married, well, when stuff goes along like voting for it, you need to get down there and do it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, we're just like, that's asking too much. Mm. Trust me. I really.
Let me jump in here and just very quickly, we got a nice pledge from Jesus, and Jesus not only likes the show, but wants to know that hatch number again. Really?
Okay, the hatch number is 713-529-3590, and that's to be screened. And again, the website is www.hatchyouth.org.
Okay, that number again?
713-529-3590.
Thank you. And we've got people at the phone banks here. Call in your pledge of support for After Hours and the Hatch segment. 713-526-5738. Thank you.
Back to you.
Okay.
So, what you were saying, though, about, like, gay people not being required to be married, there were a lot of people in Massachusetts and in San Francisco who just went out and got married for the hell of it, just because they could.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't agree. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
well, it's good that you have a right, but I wouldn't do that.
But that's everybody's. I mean, that's everybody's choice. But yeah, personally,
straight people,
I wouldn't
have the choice to do that too.
I mean, a lot of people come to me and they tell me when I talk about gay marriage, where it's legalized in this state, in this state, in this state. Why don't you just go there and do it? Why should I have to move to get married?
Yeah. Well. Okay. I don't agree with having to move to get married. And I mean, I know that like gay marriage is legal in the UK, for example. And there's a couple that I know in the UK who I'm really good friends with that, and they're planning on getting married. They've been together for 4 years or so. And they're planning, like I said, on getting married. And one of them started a business and all those kind of things. But they asked me, they're like, well, y'all could just move here and get married. And I was like, well, or we could just stay here.
But my question on that,
in order to get the benefits and being recognized as being married, you'd have to stay in England or wherever.
Yeah, see, that's what I was about to ask. I'm not really sure on that subject. I mean, if you go off to get married, like if you go to San Francisco and get married, when you come back to Texas, it's not legal, is it?
No.
Well, I mean, anywhere. I mean, anywhere that it's legal to get married, if you go there and get married and say you live there for 6 months, become a resident, if you come back to Texas, it's not recognized.
No, yeah, your license isn't recognized.
I mean, it's like, what's the point?
What's the full faith and credit clause? Who cares, you know?
Well, just like, I know this couple, I'm going to use fake names because I know they're pretty well known in this area. So I'm just going to call them Margaret and Joe.
Oh, well, I know who you're talking about.
First names that came to my head. Anyway, so this couple, they've been together for, I don't even know how long, over 30 years, and they went to Florida and got a civil union license. And every
time...
They
do that in Florida?
They did at one time.
Wow.
Like about 10 years ago. And this couple, I was hanging out with them. And one of them, the older one, goes, see, I'm a card-carrying lesbian. I love that phrase. And I, you know, use it every time I can. But she made it very evident and that she was disappointed that she could be a card-carrying lesbian in Florida, and they still recognize it, but it's not recognized in Texas, and that pisses her off a lot. And, yeah. You know, it made me very mad, too. But I think that's just an odd concept, especially knowing the full faith and credit clause. I mean, that's just really odd.
Well, the actual other part of that is...
For those of you keeping score, that's the 10th Amendment.
Yeah, but the thing is this. Florida having a civil union and Vermont having a civil union, the state of Texas doesn't have a civil union. Mm-hmm. So it has to be an equal... Put there, you know. We recognize, you know, other states' driver's licenses because we have a driver's license. We recognize marriage certificates because they have a marriage certificate. When you bring in a piece of paper that says civil union, the state of Texas doesn't have any equivalent piece of paper to match it up to.
That's a fairly conservative interpretation of it, though.
But that's the truth. I mean, there is no civil union.
Yeah, it is.
There's not a civil union thing, and that's the part of it. You can't go to Massachusetts and get married because they have a marriage tourist law that's been on the books since the
1800s.
Right. Where you just can't move there to get married.
Yeah, you have to live there.
You have to live there a certain amount of time.
Thank you, slavery.
So the fact is that you've got that. I mean, that's where the part of, you know, we can say full faith and credit clause, but it's the wording of what is put in there. What they issued out in San Francisco, the city does not control marriage certificates.
Yeah, well,
it's a county that's authorized by the state for the vital records department.
But you think about, why don't we have the civil union clause? And that's,
well, that's because Texas
clause
is full of bigots.
Well, yeah, you know, that's an opinion, but
there's 30 other
states. I second that opinion.
76% of the state voted.
But Travis, how many other states have taken and have DOMA laws and have now the stricter DOMA laws
they
put on that?
Oh, I'm not saying we're the only bigoted state.
But the fact is, I mean, you know, you just can't trash, you know, it's not just, you know, Texas bigotry. It's not backwater politics. It's normal. It's unfortunate the fact that that other states are getting people out to vote against the gay marriage proposals. And, yeah, you know, part of it could be the fact that
You know, those churches are great at getting a bunch of people whipped up into shape, and they've got the buses there to pack people in and get them down to the polling stations, and we're just not that organized.
Well,
if we can take and put a polling station at La Strada and have the election during Sunday brunch, hell, maybe we'll start getting the turnout.
Right?
But, you know, until we start working on our own part here, you know, we're slitting our own throats.
Yeah. You know, but it's still the thought that there isn't a civil union thing instated, in, not just in Texas, but any other state that it's not instated in. And to have that cut, and yes, it is, I don't want to say our fault for not being organized, but, I mean, there are a lot of things we could do to get it to where we would be more happy with it. And that's just people being on gay standard time, and I'm sorry, but, you know, that's truth.
Well, in civil unions, if a city has a civil union, it doesn't necessarily guarantee you all the rights and privileges of marriage anyway.
Right.
Yeah. No,
and it stops at the city limits.
Type thing, but.
Right. So it's a big difference. We need to standardize what that means if we're going to do it. Is gay marriage just as a heterosexual marriage, or do we need some other type of definition of civil union that grants you those particular rights across the board?
Yeah.
And, you know, we as a gay community, we never really chose gay marriage as something we're going to fight right here, right now, today.
Uh-huh.
This issue was kind of thrust upon us through decisions that were made by the courts.
Yeah.
And that's kind of brought all this up.
I don't think we were ready
as a community. I don't think we were ready for this issue.
These people from, what's her name from? Is Alaska or Colorado? I don't remember. One woman, though, in Congress was just bringing up DOMA since 1991.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not... It was not just the court's decisions. It's not like we can look at the Supreme Court of Massachusetts and go, you know, you did this. This has been an agenda on the right, an agenda item on the right for so long.
But part of the explosion of what happened was the fact that some of the some litigants in Massachusetts saw what they thought was a loophole to get their relationships sanctified by the Commonwealth, went and pressed it in the courts. And then, you know, the Massachusetts Supreme Court told the legislature, hey, you know, they're right. You can't have that bit of discrimination in there.
Right.
And then what really exploded it was the fact that the straight mayor of San Francisco, Gavin Newsom, said, you know, if we're going to be issuing marriage certificates, it needs to be San Francisco first.
Mm-hmm.
And he did his interpretation of the California Constitution and said, you know, we can start issuing marriage certificates, and they did for those couple, what was it, 3 or 4 days until that got shut down. And then same thing with some of the small towns in New York State that were doing it, like West Paul's.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that was the right decision. Those type of things happen. There's a starting point that really gets things going, or a point where momentum builds. So I think that was the right thing. I just think nationwide, as a group, we weren't ready for that fight.
Right. I mean, the worst, actually, it's funny. Studies show, polls and surveys, that as soon as these gay marriages started happening, support didn't go down for gay marriage. Support started to go down when these images of men kissing hit the airwaves. People were freaking out. Because all of a sudden they had to look at, pardon the pun, but the fruits of the labor. You know, people don't mind the idea of homosexuals. What they mind is having to look at it.
Well, mostly, you know, the gay males, but...
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, straight people love lesbians.
Straight men love
lesbians. But yeah, we get to sit back and watch the heterosexuals do what they want to do out in public, but yet we have to be scared to show all sides and all feelings for people.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of gay men that will not whatsoever do PDA. They will act as straight as possible.
Oh, well, that's because some gay men are pansies.
Because they don't want to have to deal with the problem. And I do believe that, I mean, gay marriage will be legalized at some point.
I do too.
I mean, look at everything we've went through. I mean, we've went through the racism. We've went through the slavery. We've went through everything. And we've overcome that when people in that perspective started standing up and actually made a case to it. And I do believe as homosexuals, we have not put up a case against it to get it legalized. I mean, yeah, I mean, we say, hey, we want gay marriage, but what do most of us do when voting days come around? I mean, they've given us times to vote on it, and we sit at home and we don't vote.
Well, you also have to look at the fact that, with the civil rights movement, it wasn't through popular vote. It was actually through the courts and the federal government saying that. Also have to look that, when you go from civil war to civil rights, we're talking a span of over 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And basically, the start of our modern movement was in 1969. So,
yeah,
we may have a long ways to go, and we happen to stumble across these things, The 2106 was overturned because some guy got upset and sent the cops in to bust up some other people engaging in acts, and the cops went forward with prosecuting it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, and it's going to take some of those sorts of acts to get to it. Unfortunately, we got to wrap up the segment and bring it here. We want to give out the Hatch information so you can get in touch with them if you are of the Hatch age.
Yeah, we're just going to make our announcements one more time. Sorry they're lame, but, whatever. Anyway, again, we're all from Hatch. We had a Dustin...
The Houston Area Teen Coalition of homosexuals.
Well, it used to be known as that. Now we just call it Hatch because it wasn't inclusive enough. So it's just, for GLBTQ and their allies. Coming have fun. Anyway, tonight we had Dustin, Sean, me, Pamela, Travis, which you heard a lot from, and Michelle, and our facilitator, Brendan.
Ouch.
Anyway.
Thank God there's another kneecapper on the show besides me.
If you want to come and join us, go ahead and give us a call. The number is 713-529-3590, or go to www.hatchyouth.org. to get screened, and again, that's just to make sure you're of the right age group and everything.
And that would be?
13 to 21.
Okay.
Don't call if you're over 21, because you won't be going.
Unless you want to donate money to the organization, in which case we...
Yeah, unless you want to donate.
Don't you get your walking? Don't you get your walking papers on your 21st birthday?
No.
You're walking?
You get kicked out. Yeah, you get kicked out. Again, that number is 713-529-3590 or www.hatchyouth.org. Again, we also remind everyone our Hatch Valentine's Dance is February 10th and the Mardi Gras Party is February 24th. Lastly, for the GLBTQ youth and all of their allies, the National PFLAG Scholarship deadline is approaching. It's February 14th. However, the PFLAG Hatch Scholarship, which is open to anyone in the Houston area, will continue until May 1st. So just be keeping those dates in mind.
And I want everyone to know that Pamela has a face for radio.
Ooh!
Oh!
And I went, oh, never mind.
Let's not go there, Pam.
Let's not go there, Travis. Okay.
Let's just settle it.
All right. Let's go to music and get ready for Binet.
Yes, and don't forget to give us a call, 713-526-5738, with your pledge of support. okay, damn it, you're gay. Whatever.
Oh, keep it up, you know. Yeah, I'll get y'all, you know. They've got a Spanish version I'll play next.
Actually, it's a lot better.
Dime que eres gay.
Yes. Yeah.
That was,
Yes. It's not new, actually.
I know, I play there. It's M Songs.
M Songs, yeah.
Tell me that you're gay, and they've got...
They've got it in Spanish.
Yeah, English and Spanish.
Yeah.
I played English.
You'll learn.
English.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. We are in the middle of membership drive because we are a listener-sponsored Pacifica station, KPFT. We're like the only one between the coasts.
We're the only red state one.
Ooh. That's why we need your support more than ever.
Mm-hmm. We are.
Yeah, we're.
For this station and this show in particular.
The home of Halliburton Held and
yes.
Bush the First.
But it is time for BuyNet with Gigi. What is the name of your segment these days, honey?
It's the bisexual segment.
The bisexual segment, okay.
I mean, we're still part of BuyNet, but...
Yes, you are, but...
We broaden out a lot nowadays.
Oh, honey, have you.
And we've got quite a show tonight.
Yes, well, something about people exchanging power.
Yeah, where it began and where it is and all kinds of wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into the kink tonight.
How nice.
And we've got our first... We're going to interview three lovely ladies. And our first one is...
You mean from all over the country?
Yeah. First one's in the state of Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is... I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Callie Ward. And she's on hold right now. Can we bring her on the line?
You bet we can. You're on After Hours.
Hello.
Hey, Callie. Did
Hi.
I get your name right?
No, actually, Gigi, it's Kaylee.
Kaylee,
yeah,
okay.
It's a little easier.
Ah, great. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's so good to have you. Tell me a little bit about PEP, the history, how it started. Because I know PEP's in a lot of cities.
Yes, we are. I'd love to tell you. Actually, PEP, People Exchanging Power, was born out of her own desires. And by her, I mean Nancy Ava Miller, who started the PEP organization back in the 80s, actually, long before PCs and all the other information highways that we have today. But she placed an ad in the Albuquerque Journal in 1985 looking for a dominant male partner. And, got a couple of responses and nothing that really panned out. And then she placed an ad thinking she could still grab hold of her kink by going the other way and looking for a subdued bottom and or submissive male, and received several hundred responses.
Yeah.
So what do you do with hundreds of pieces of mail? Also, she received a copy of a book, and in that book, Erotic Power mentioned a place called Eulenspiegel, or TESS, it's also known as, which is a support group in New York City. So this part's really neat. This woman took her van and packed it up, drove all the way from Albuquerque, New Mexico, to the city of New York, and camped out of the back of her van for weeks so that she could travel into the city three times a week to go to a support group meetings of the only thing in its existence at the time, to get as much information to start the People Exchanging Power support group. And most people don't know, but PEP did begin with support groups. She then drove back to Albuquerque, New Mexico, started her first support group there, and that was in October of 1986. So actually, we're coming up on a 20-year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I hope we have a big celebration. I'm sure we'll have something really nice planned.
Oh, yes.
And she also went to Washington, D.C. and started People Exchanging Power Washington, which I'm sure a lot of listeners have heard of the Black Rose Society. That is kink personified in the United States. and they have annual parties, big conferences where thousands of people come from all over the world, and it's just wonderful. But the reason for the support groups was to promote the concept of camaraderie, education, acceptance by all, where people could actually meet, creating a safe haven for people to meet and to share ideas and to learn and so on. And there are groups all over the country. As a matter of fact, I joined the PEP organization in February of 1998. And
Tell me a little bit, what kind of drove you to join?
Actually, it's kind of a funny story. I was enjoying a lot of fun with a gentleman by the name of Joe, and he moved from the Buffalo, New York area, which, of course, is where I'm from, to Albany, New York, and engaged in some play that was not safe, sane, and consensual play. And I talked to him for hours, listening to how scared he was and how upset he was, and that there were people out there who really didn't understand. And that really was the catalyst to push me to join the PEP organization, to promote the understanding, acceptance, and the concept of safe, sane, and consensual. And then 6 months after I started with PEP in February, that same August, August 1st, 1998, was the first People Exchanging Power, Buffalo, New York. And it's just that old concept of sometimes something good does come out of something bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been into the scene for many, many years, and I know that, you know, it really takes looking at the safety issues, learning what you're doing. I want to be around to play for a long time, baby.
Oh, heck yeah. Who wants this good stuff to end, right?
Oh, yes. And I want to fly. But, if errors happen, if mistakes occur, if you're not playing safely, then all of a sudden it's going to crash.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're very big on promoting that type of play.
And
a lot of thought goes into it, you know?
And one thing about the support groups that I'd like to point out is that it's not just to bring people together. It's also to learn, it's to share, it's to create an environment that's safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, one of Nancy's favorite lines is create a safe haven. That's one of her favorite lines.
Oh, yes.
Another one is in 1991, when things got so overwhelming for her, and she spent a great deal of, I would probably say all of her spare time on the telephone talking with people and getting them to come out and to meet and to share their views and ideas and so on, got very overwhelming. So in 1991... after trying to struggle with all the phone calls between herself and a friend, she actually brought people in to help her with the telephone calls and so on. And that's basically what I am, and Maria and Savannah, who will be with you later. But basically, she entitled that part of her life as The Day I Decided to Sell Hope.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about what the phone counselors and about that side of PEP?
Oh, I'd love to. We're located across the United States and Canada. We actually have a couple girls in Canada. It's all to the person, but let me just give you an idea about what each call can consist of. It can be any or all of the following. I think the first thing is listening. I think that a lot of people don't have anyone to really talk to. I mean, I can frankly say that I know more about the people I talk to than their family does, than their partner does, because sometimes they need to come to me with ideas so I can help them promote those ideas and concepts to their partner.
And I know that a lot of people into the BDSM scene are highly closeted because of whatever.
I sometimes think that we're riding the skirts tales of the gay community.
Yeah.
I believe that those that have gone before us, who have made significant changes, and have been successful in believing who they are and what they are, is where we all fit into the same niche. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We're all together in this, in the fact that society as laid out in history, you and I don't fit there.
Yeah.
We don't fit there.
And one thing I like about the phone counselors is that it is a safe environment for people to play kind of semi-anonymously.
Absolutely. Well, let me say this. And this I get sometimes when people are hesitant, but it speaks volumes when you say that an organization has been around for 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
That we don't have a problem when it comes to people's privacy. I mean, I speak with people who are your plain, ordinary people, but I also talk to lawyers and doctors and presidents and CEOs of major corporations. These are people who have zero outlet, who can't come to a meeting or a support group sometimes. So we're there for those types of people as well.
Yeah.
And that everything is very confident and very, very trusting. And like I said, you wouldn't be here for 20 years if it wasn't, would you?
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing it does is it provides an avenue of catharsis for people. Because where else can you go to kind of work through some of the things that you can work through in BDSM?
Absolutely.
How can you express it in mainstream society? You can't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is a valuable service that we provide.
I also wanted to point out, because I was listening to the show earlier, I just really enjoyed the Hatch Group talking. I just think it's wonderful that there's a haven for the younger generation so that they can reach out. And I just wanted to plug that because I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah.
But
Hatch has been part of our show for many, many years.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. It makes me feel like there's a lead-in for acceptance at any age, and that's wonderful. We, of course, have to watch the age guidelines, but in our particular area, it's different. But I think it's just wonderful that there's a place to go. I also wanted to say, too, that, you know, there has been occasion for me over the last 9 years that I've talked to people who are scared about some of the thoughts they have.
Yeah.
They don't really know how to sort them out. And that's what we're here for also, is to sort out those thoughts.
Yeah, I'd like to do a quick rundown on some of the things we offer. It's not just phone fantasy, but we also do counseling.
Oh, yes.
Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah, I was going to say there's several facets of a phone conversation. You know, sometimes it's talking about scary thoughts. Sometimes it's creating confidence in the person to know how to seek things further. I think the biggest part of what I do is bring fantasy to reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be via the telephone and kinky play or mutual play. You're enjoying yourself on your end and I'm enjoying myself on my end. And comparing kinky notes. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody's thought about being tied down and tickled.
Yeah.
Okay? Everybody's thought about being a toy boy or wearing ladies' lingerie.
Yeah.
Everybody's thought about those things. What do you do with those thoughts?
Yeah.
You come to us.
And how can people reach you?
Actually, I have a couple of phone numbers and websites if people want to write a couple of things down. The other thing I wanted to say before I did this, too, though, is we also like to offer assignments on each of our phone calls. This keeps your thoughts and feelings going all week or all month, depending on how often you can call. We also offer a free literature package, which gives you some choices between a library of articles, photographs, tapes, and a lot of different avenues, quite a list.
Yeah.
Any one of us can get that free information to you, but I'd like to give you my phone number here in Sin City, Las Vegas. It's 702-341-0585. 702-341-0585. We also have a national PEP site. It's PEPLOVE.com. That's peplove.com. That's where you can see photographs and read information, bios, et cetera, on all of us ladies. And I do want to point out something, too. The photographs that you'll see on our site, those are actual photographs, updated photographs of the ladies. There are no models there. We are what we are.
Great.
And all of us beautiful throughout.
Well, we'll need to go to music break in just a few minutes. Okay. Do you have anything you'd like to wrap up?
Actually, yes. I just wanted to say that it was a pleasure doing this with you this evening. I hope that the listeners out there take the step to make a phone call and get to us. Also, I'd like to leave one last phone number with you. This is our inquiry love line, and it is free. It's 505-255-9255. That's Mistress Carr at 505-255-9255.
And she knows a lot of the ladies.
Oh, yes, she knows us all. Well, we're like a bunch of sisters. We really are.
Oh, yes. Well, thanks so much for being part of the show.
I enjoyed it.
And we'll be going to music and coming back and doing another interview shortly.
Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Okay, and had to figure out what button to push now. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston.
Wanna rock around the clock? You can't say I'm not. And in case you forgot, yeah. Rainbow flavor sound system. Back in the day, around the way. You know I'm proud to be queer, y'all. Without no fear, y'all. And if you're all about the pride, then help me cheer, y'all. It's like that. Licky, 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 licky. Come on, come on. Listen, party people, here's a serious song. It's right, not wrong. You can stay right on. Cause I gotta tell you things that you may not know. It's not a mystery, it's history, and here's how it goes. A lot of people think the world never accepted gays. But if you look in the book, you'll see that's not the case. Going all the way back to ancient Greece, the time of Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates. Native American tribes knew how to recognize people living different lives with pride. But then came the church and state. They come to regulate the people joining that crusade in the hate. Took the bait. Some people fought back. Many lives were lost. 1 million babies triangles in the Holocaust. Even Oscar Wilde faced an obscenity trial and went to prison for a real long while.
You know I'm proud to be queer, so deal with my reality. I'm tired of people tripping on my sexuality. Yo, I'm the same as you. You spitting game, that's true. Upon a record representing my crew.
You know I'm proud to be queer, y'all. Without no fear, y'all. And if you're all about the fight, then help us cheer. Here, y'all. It's like that. Yo, 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 Emma Goldman. She showed the people the way. One of the first to support lesbians and gays. The East Village in New York City. Went all the way back in the 1950s. It was a dream of the Mannequin Society. This gay community, which has provided me with my own place. And the space to create and make takes, not fakes. Always up in your face. Cause if we all stand together, we can fight and win. Just ask the queer soldiers at the Stonewall Inn. So take that. DJ Monkey, and I run it thin. You can hear it loud and clear like when the school bell rings. It's like Coretta Scott King marching with Dr. King. I'll do my thing and let my freedom ring. You know I'm proud to be fine, y'all. I'll tell you why, y'all. Cause I've been fighting for too long to have to hide, y'all. And I ain't taking your shit just because I don't fit your definition of queer. Cause I got nothing to fear. Been in this game for years, so brothers know I'm legit. I'm rocking hella pride parties and I will not quit. So tough shit.
The man with the skills on the mic. Motherfuckers bring the drama, but you're not my type. I bust a rhyme on the track, my shit'll never be whack. It's not opinion, it's fact. Cause I'm proud to be black and gay, y'all. And I don't play, y'all. That's how it is and that's the way it's gonna stay, y'all. So take that.
Some people step to me and try to take what's mine, but I'm prepared to fight and put my life on the line. Sometimes with the pen and sometimes the sword, cause I'm inspired by the words of Audrey Lorde. If we wait to speak till we're no longer afraid, we'll be sending messages back from the grave. They go with Harvey Milk, was shot and killed by white. He nearly got away with murder, yo, it was not right. I still remember the flames, they burned them into the night. Queer people standing up for their rights and not believing the hype. Little Richard was a brother with soul, then he made a new style called rock and roll. Marlon Riggs made a movie called It Tongues Untied about a higher state of mind.
mind we call gay pride. So every man, every woman, hold your head up high and never hide what you're feeling inside. Cause we're proud to be queer, y'all, without no fear, y'all. And if you're all about the pride, then give a cheer, y'all. It's like that, y'all, y'all, and we don't quit. DJ Monkey, break it down, cause this is it.
I challenge you to find that.
Rainbow Flavor. That is one of the original queer rap groups. And we had one of the members of Rainbow Flavor right here in the studio some years back.
And I challenge you to find that on commercial radio.
Right, that's right. That's right. Queer rap.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And you're listening to it right here on After Hours.
Even the CD's bling bling.
Oh, we're a radio with attitude right here on KPFT Houston. Listener supported Pacifica Station. Now,
we're going to say all that in another at least 3 minutes.
This is where the listener support part comes in.
Yes.
Because this is the time for you to call in 713-526-5738 with your pledge of support. We've had a couple of very generous pledges tonight, but we need a lot more because we are about $100 short of our goal. So that one pledge of $100 will do it. Or two pledges of $50 on plastic would be great because we have got CDs, the CD of Trans America, the new movie out. They came to us in the mail just today, and we'll give one to you for $50 on plastic. You have to do is ask for it.
You know, one thing with, since we don't have a trans segment, hold on. This is a 13-second piece.
Mm-hmm.
I love this one line. I was listening to the CD, and it just says, dialogue, I will be a woman. And this you know,
how appropriate.
This talks about something of our show.
Oh, okay.
But just a quick listen here. One of the things you get on this CD. That would help if I hit the right button.
My operation, not even a gynecologist, will be able to detect anything out of the ordinary about my body. I will be a woman. Don't you find it odd that plastic surgery can cure a mental disorder?
I've never heard it described that way.
I know, I never have either.
But, you know,
that's pretty damn good.
The CD has music from, now for you old people who, you know, fell asleep at the end of Dead Air and, you know, turn on the air, they got the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Yes, they do.
I think that's something you old farts have heard of before.
They even have one from Miriam Makeba.
Yes. For the younger people, Duncan Sheik.
Mm-hmm.
For you Pacifica fans, Lucinda Williams. Isn't she played several of the different shows around here?
Oh, yeah. I've played Lucinda Williams because she is really a great artist, even though she's not queer.
And Dolly Parton.
And Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you can get that. $50 pledge on plastic. We'll get you a free CD of Trans America. 713-526-5738. Gigi's got another interviewee on the line.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Oh, yes, we're ready. Here. And I would like to say that tonight we're doing the show on PEP, People Exchanging Power. It's about a whole new movement that sprung up in the last few years, BDSM and learning how to play and play safe. So why don't we bring our next guest on, Maria?
Hello, Maria. You're on KPFT Houston.
Well, top of the morning to you all.
Ah. Well, welcome to After Hours, queer radio with attitude.
And it is.
Oh, yes. I'd like to ask you, Maria, you've been with PEP how long?
5 years now.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us a little bit about the philosophy?
Well, absolutely. We strongly believe in caring, acceptance, understanding, and, of course, the holy trinity of BDSM, safe, sane, and consensual.
Mm-hmm.
So we are bound, you know, completely by the idea of acceptance and understanding. One of my most frequent callers has called me over 150 times.
Oh, wow.
And I said to this interesting person, this lovely person, this cherished friend of mine, how come you call me every single time, 150 times? He said, Maria, you never, ever laugh at me.
Yeah, that's so important.
Well, how many times have you or any of us been laughed at in our lives for what we believe or what we are interested in?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it, like Keely said a little bit ago, I mean, it is entirely important for a person to have some safe haven in their life where they can feel that they can let the curlers out and put on the silk panties and pour a nice cocktail and be completely themselves.
I remember growing up when I was very young, a little boy, and I had these feelings. I wanted to have my butt whipped. I wanted to have wear a dress. I even remember getting caught putting on high-heeled shoes inside my mother's closet once. And it was so humiliating. And even that kind of gave me a little bit of a turn-on.
Well, the getting caught, the taboo feeling is something that a lot of people really enjoy, the idea of something naughty, something private, and the idea of getting caught.
Yeah.
Very sexy.
And one of the things, tell me a little bit about some of the things that can happen on in a session.
On a phone session?
Yeah.
Well, anything can really happen. I mean, the person can go from shyness. A lot of times when people get on the phone with me, they can't hardly breathe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've noticed that a lot of times I'm trying to listen to them talk and they can't get their thought out because they don't have a breath in their lungs. So, I mean, the first thing I try and do is get them to take a nice deep breath, maybe use some progressive relaxation techniques and get them to close their eyes a little bit, sit back in the chair, whatever it is they might be on. I try to ascertain to where they are. You know, are you in your office? Are you, in your bedroom? You know, where might you be? And then I try and tap into their head and their mindset a little bit, just get them to take a nice deep breath and just relax. You know, you're safe. You're in a cocooned, protected environment where nothing bad is going to happen to you here. Nobody's going to laugh or tell you you're ridiculous or dirty or anything like that. You are completely, completely at home here. And then, you know, they'll start to open up a little bit and tell me maybe a little bit about... I try and point good questions at them. You know, questions are your friend.
Oh, yes.
So I try and ask them good questions, and before long they're telling me something, like Kaylee said, that they've never told anybody.
Yeah.
And then we can start to paint that picture and take a little travel down the erotic road.
And that's so important. I mean, I remember for years searching for some place where I could just kind of get a grasp on that aspect of who I am. And it was a deep, dark secret for so long.
Right. And if, you know, that's the first time you're ever opening up about those things to somebody like me, you're stepping over a big threshold for yourself. And, I mean, it's so important for me to help you open that door.
Yeah.
So that you can step through, and it's momentous to them. You know, it may be the first time in ever in their whole life that they've ever really been accepted, and the power of the feeling of acceptance, it'll change a person's life. It'll change who they really are inside because they've bottled that up and compartmentalized it for so long. That to find a place where you can really open that up and let it run free is liberating, to say the very least.
I haven't mentioned this on the air yet, but I've just joined PEP as a counselor recently.
I was hoping you would mention that. I wanted to say how welcome that you are here.
Oh, well, thank you.
And how honored and privileged we are to have your perspective to share with other people.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that drew me to PEP, and I'd like you to... because you're probably a little more knowledgeable about this than I am, but that all the counselors really are real people and caring, and there's lots of love, and this kind of dynamic occurs. I know I'm working on building up some relationships with some of my clients.
Oh, what a joy it is. What a joy it is.
Can you talk a little bit about the how the counselors kind of work?
Well, elaborate just a little bit more, Gigi. I'm not sure I understand.
I know that a lot of times you can make a call to a place and the sex industry, and a lot of times it's often by a script or this or that, but...
Oh, no, 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 no. I never, ever, none of us at PEP ever really use a script.
Yeah.
What I had, I guess maybe what you're getting at is the difference between maybe an ooh and ah service and you know, the intelligent, articulate, erudite conversation that PEP counselors offer. I mean, it's not all technical and educated and highbrow. I mean, we get down and dirty like anybody else.
Oh, but, yeah.
But I think it's with more insight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's I've had a number of people who've used other services or been in other places, maybe had an unsatisfactory experience. And when you ask them, well, what was not good about your past phone experiences with other people, and they'll say, well, the lady wasn't genuine, or she really didn't have a knowledge base in BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not the case with PEP counselors. All these people are here because this is a serious component of their lifestyle. And I particularly, like, you know, am here because this is an outlet for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a mom, like, you know, millions of women across the country. You know, I'm not running around in my rubber boots and leather corset all the time. You know, so the phone for me is an outlet to explore the very same fantasies that the callers are coming to explore.
And I think the other thing I wanted to kind of bring out too is just this philosophy in PEP that there is this caring and this love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. I fall in love practically every time I talk with somebody. You know what I mean? You really have to have an ability to look for that special thing that's in each person and then be able to connect with that and, in a sense, with your words and thoughts and acceptance, fertilize that to see this beautiful bloom grow. And, you know, I can't tell you how many people, gay men, bi men, cross-dressing people that have come to me and said, boy, you know, I just would have never. Because like Kaylee said, we do give assignments. I give something to keep you connected with me and with the fantasy in between calls. And so many of those assignments revolve around things like go buy a tube of lipstick at a high-end makeup counter.
Uh-huh.
Or go buy your first pair of panties. And, you know, this was this first person's time ever circulating with the general public and entertaining their own fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And what they find out is that you're free to move around the world just like anybody else is, and that people aren't up at night thinking, why did he buy that tube of lipstick? They just sold you the lipstick. They don't really, you know what I mean? It was a big moment for you to go buy the lipstick, but it wasn't any big thing for them. That's what they do. They sell lipstick. So, you know,
I have to break in here and tell a little bit of a story on myself.
All right.
How
we
I've
doing?
I've been very out and open. I do the radio show for years. And
yeah, excellent.
And people can't go to a hardware store with me and ever see a hardware store the same again.
Me neither. We call Home Depot Dungeon Depot.
And so I've got a friend that went and he just turned 20 shades of red when I was pointing out different day-to-day items and going, you can make a chain station out of this.
Mm.
You can suspend a person by the ceiling with a few hooks and these this soft rope. And I was showing him all the common day-to-day things you could buy and make some really cool toys.
How about a come-along?
Oh, yeah.
I can't say that word and not laugh. Go get the come-along and come along.
Well, one of the things I like, too, is the educational component.
Mm-hmm.
That we are here to help educate people.
Oh, absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, that's part of what we have the support groups for. I mean, several times a year, that many of the different PEP counselors will travel to be presenters at support group meetings where we present a demonstration or a talk geared towards educating the public about the safety and intimacy. I can't tell you how many people I've shown BDSM to, and their first remark was, gee, I didn't know it was so loving.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, they had this horrible idea of just pain and degradation and humiliation when, you know, that may be a component that's sexy for the people playing, but then they weren't prepared for that loving touch or that kiss or that embrace that they're going to see as well. So, you know, dispelling the myths and misconceptions and misnomers of BDSM is part of what PEP is about as well.
And I think you touch on a real key component. There's a lot of communication and trust that's mm-hmm. not just a stated trust, but an actual living trust that you're...
A genuine, down-to-your-core trust, and that's what makes those moments so special. I've seen a lot of people cry. There was a gentleman that I played with maybe a year ago, and it was his first time ever being bound, inescapably bound.
Mm-hmm.
And the relief of being completely vulnerable and having to depend entirely upon another person for your safety and any little thing you might need. Oh, my nose itches. You know, I mean, you have to give that off to somebody else who you trust to take care of that.
Yeah.
You know, they're not just going to let your nose itch and not take care of you.
And that's one of the things it really sends me flying is when I can make myself that vulnerable to another human being.
And right. And see, the very first time you experience that, I've seen people come to tears.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, it's epiphany-like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very almost spiritual or even religious in a sense.
Oh, definitely.
And the very first time I ever walked into a dungeon, Enigma was playing, and there were all these candelabras all around, and I thought I had walked into a sanctuary.
Mm.
You know, it was just the most beautiful experience.
I did a scene a while back here in Houston with WIP Society. It's Women in Power Society. And they had me up on stage, and she did temporary piercings. I had to hold my hands up in the air, just horizontally. She did temporary piercings all down my arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then hung tea candles from those piercings, and I became a human candelabra.
You are a good woman. Well, the closest I've ever done is I made a little guy stand on his head like an elephant, like a yoga pose.
Yeah.
And then I put tapered candles in his butt. And of course it was his birthday, so we all sang happy birthday.
What a good way to bring in a birthday.
Not as nearly as exciting as temporary piercings, but cool nonetheless.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing, is that's the other thing I like about the phone fantasy, is that you can try some of these out through fantasy first before you do it real life.
Well, you know, I find a lot of times on the phone, I think particularly on the phone, people really want company in their fantasy.
Yeah.
More than they, I mean, now I have a number of calls, I'd say a high percentage of my calls are hands-on, where people are actually doing things for me under my guidance on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, like Kaylee said, it's mutual masturbation, and it's more of a narrative where I'm putting images into their head about fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe telling a story based on their interests.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really important in a scenario like that where you emphasize the detail and really try and paint that picture vividly into the person's head. And then while they're masturbating, they just start to coast on those images until all of a sudden, you know, they don't even sense the room around them anymore. They don't know, you know, they're really where I put them.
Well, for someone that's never done phone fantasy before, can you tell us a little bit about the process?
Well, the very first thing that I do is I try and get them to book a nice block of time with me, 45 minutes to an hour, and that way I have 10, 12 minutes at the beginning to really ask them some pointed questions about their fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
you know, their history, where did they start with this, what might they like to explore during that session. And then, like I said before, we just get them to relax a little bit. And then I start with the images, you know, maybe directing them towards the masturbation a little bit, asking them what they wear, how often they climax, when did they climax last, these kinds of things. I move from a general question to a question that's maybe designed a little bit to make them uncomfortable, and then let them feel that discomfort just for a minute, and then move back to a more comfortable place.
Yeah.
And we keep touching like that until every time that we hit the uncomfortable question, they go a little deeper.
Yeah, pushing
you know,
the boundaries.
It's a mildly uncomfortable question at first, and then, you know, as they answer that one and get their feet wet, then we might go a little bit further. And am I answering the question?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So that's kind of the dynamic of how I try and get into their head and then transport them from that place that we define them being in the chair, in the bed, wherever, to the dungeon that I've painted for them, or the maybe, you know, I do a lot of bi fantasies, you know, so I take them to a bar and have them pick up somebody or have somebody pick them up. Or maybe a lot of people pick them up. I mean, it depends on what the fantasy is. I mean, so I have a lot of gangbang fantasies where the men want to, you know, have the football team rape them or something. Okay, well, the Celtics have just arrived.
Yeah.
Seattle's coming next.
I know that Pep's running some specials right now.
Oh, yeah, all the time. We have wonderful specials. There's in the literature packet that Kaylee mentioned before, I mean, they always have an excellent special in the literature packet, so that's one reason among many to ask for the literature packet. But then, you know, monthly, Nancy always runs maybe a $20 off special on the length of any call, or we have a number of callers that, this may be astounding to people, but they'll call for a number of hours at a time.
Oh, yeah.
My longest call ever, now some of the ladies have beat this now, but my longest call ever was 12 hours long.
Oh, wow. That's a good long session.
Yeah, I picked the phone up about now. It's 4:13, and it's about 4 o'clock in the morning at my time. Mm-hmm. And we talk straight through to 4 o'clock in the afternoon the next day.
I had to have continuous minutes on their phone.
I'm telling you, they didn't call from a cell phone.
Yeah.
I know it.
Well, a lot of our counselors do have free long distance, so when
yes.
you call in, then they'll get some information and then can call you back.
Exactly. I always return the call to my clients so that they don't have to incur the long-distance charge.
Yeah.
So in those longer calls, like, you know, sometimes Nancy will run a special that's like $60 off a three-hour, you know, so they should get a little, you know, they try and make it affordable for people. I don't think we're really out there to gouge people's pocketbook.
Well, that's the other reason I like joining Pep, was because, you know, we do have Pep does have a philosophy of, you know, we're not here to just make money. We're here
right.
to do
it's,
so much more.
I've noticed that the focus is really on support, understanding, caring, education, acceptance. I can't emphasize acceptance enough. That's the, you know, to me, the bottom line is people are coming to be accepted within their fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely different from the 976 numbers and stuff.
Yeah. I call those the ooh and ah line. Ooh, baby, ooh, baby.
Well, I think everything has its purpose. And,
yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of
well,
like,
and for the caller who's looking for that experience, those services are invaluable.
Oh, yeah.
But for somebody who's looking for something a little deeper, and most of the people I talk to are looking for something more specialized, more intimate, more sincere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely what Pep offers. Counselors don't last with the net.
With what?
Counselors don't last with Pep if they don't embody those virtues.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they just sort of die on the vine. A few people call, and then they don't get what they're looking for. And then people just quit calling that particular counselor. I mean, it just doesn't happen that often. But, you know, you for like the housewife, it sounds, oh, that would be easy money. And then they get in here and find out that it really takes understanding, caring, education, a genuine desire to connect with the caller. And then that's what makes a successful counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And a happy client.
I know we have a lot of men that call,
mm-hmm.
but what about for women?
Every now and then I get a woman who calls, or I'll get couples that call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're looking for a genuine counseling call wherein I'm helping target their goals and strategize with them about how best to achieve those goals. So, you know, a lot of times they're wanting to know how they can incorporate. This is something new that's come up in their love life, and they want to incorporate it. And maybe you're shy or don't know how.
Yeah.
I had a lovely lady and a gentleman I've taught. His fantasy is chastity. And enjoys being bound into a chastity device that, you know, so that he can't climax. It's a sacrificial kind of thing. He's submissive. She's dominant. But he required discipline. She was afraid to spank him. She didn't know how hard to hit him or where to hit him or what kinds of implements to use,
mm-hmm.
or what kind of verbal dialogue should go with that.
Yeah.
And so we spent, you know, a number of sessions working with her on ideas.
And I've worked with new tops or doms,
mm-hmm.
in the past that just starting out, I think they're afraid. You know, I had one that came to me and said, you know, I'm just afraid I might let the monster out and hurt somebody.
Right. You know, that's a notion that a lot of people in BDSM don't really pay any homage to, and that's the idea that the top needs as much support as the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to be told, you know, from the bottom person, yes, that was exactly right.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was what I needed. Thank you so much.
And also
please.
Learning how to read body language when you're topping.
Absolutely.
And there are ways to learn how to do this. This is something that can be learned. It's not something that just you're born with or that
right.
you get this kind of, excuse me, you don't just get this flash and, oh, I'm good at this. It's a
right.
learning process.
Absolutely. And any top goes through that. Any bottom goes through that.
So oh, yeah.
It's definitely something you can cultivate. I highly recommend reading everything you can get your hands on.
Can you recommend some books?
Well, my favorite is, my very, very favorite is by Claudia Varon. It's called The Art of Female Sensual Dominance.
Mm.
Well, obviously, it's geared towards women who are topping men. But I absolutely love that book. She leaves no stone unturned in terms of every fantasy and relates, you know, she was a professional dominatrix, so she relates a lot of her experiences with people, you know, different fantasies she's explored with clients and whatnot. I like that one a lot. I like S&M 101 by Jay Weiss.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He's a little wordy, I think, but worth wading through.
Mm-hmm.
And then the title that I enjoy the most, because it just makes me laugh every time, is Screw the Roses and Give Me the Thorns.
Uh-huh.
I like that one. And then for people who are maybe have somebody in their life who doesn't know about their kink, there's a book by Dodie Eastman and a co-author whose name I can't remember right now, but it's called When Someone You Love Is Kinky.
I forget right offhand.
Yeah, but she's got a co-author, and the title is When Someone You Love Is Kinky.
Mm-hmm.
And that one talks specifically to the non-kink person out of a couple and how unfair it is. One of the first things I remember she talks about in that book is how unfair it is to require the kinky person to keep that hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lie it is.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
To have to perpetuate that secrecy.
Yeah.
And really how detrimental it is ultimately to the relationship.
Yes.
So I like to see people come to some acceptance between themselves about their kinks.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And there's two other books by that the same authors. One's called The Topping Book and the other The Bottoming Book. And
yeah, I actually have both of those in my closet, too. I haven't had a chance to open those two, though.
You don't have them stuck on top of each other in the closet, do you?
Tell her to say that again.
She said, yeah, speaking.
You don't have them stacked on top of each other in the closet.
Well, yeah, of course I do.
Okay.
They're multiplying in there. I'm afraid to open the closet door.
Oh, look, I'm a whole bunch of books piling on them.
Oh, my gosh, it might get out of the closet.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Well, I have found that a lot of the pep clients... Oh, I'm getting a time here.
Okay.
How can people reach you if they want to contact you?
Well, you are always welcome to call me at my home. I can give you my phone number. That's 813-333-2695. That's my home number, 813-333-2695. And Pep graciously sponsors a website for me that's called lovemaria.com. Lovemaria.com. And of course, now we have an excellent, I love this little line. This is a 15-minute recording that gives descriptions about everybody, all the Pep counselors and their home phone numbers. So you could call 505-342-8000 for a complete listing of all the Pep counselors. That's 505-342-8000. How's that?
Great. Well, thank you for being with us on After Hours, Maria.
Oh, it was entirely my pleasure.
And we're going to go to a music break, and then we'll be calling Savannah next.
Oh, I'm going to listen. I can't wait to hear what Savannah's got to say. Kaylee was wonderful, and now I can't wait to hear what Savannah's got to say.
And you've been wonderful, too. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for that compliment. I can't hear enough of that.
All right, let's drop in a little music, and we'll be right back.
Mark Almond with Money for Love. You're listening to it all on After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude.
I'm so curious enough to hear the fiddle mix of that one.
Yeah, well, you're not going to tonight.
Click.
We're interrupting this program to not only play music, but to remind you that it is membership drive time. KPFT is listener-supported Pacifica Radio. That means no commercials, but you are the one who gets to pay the bills, which actually makes it a lot cheaper than listening to commercial radio. And you know, I know most people listen to commercial radio, but I'm so used to KPFT, listening to KPFT, mm-hmm. that when I listen to some of the other stations, as soon as a commercial comes on, I just get irritated and start switching channels.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that's different is that, you know, we don't sit here and talk about, you know, the brands of sodas we're drinking.
Mm-mm.
You know, when we talk about films, it has to be relevant to what we're doing.
We're not trying to sell you pimple cream or feminine douche or anything like that.
And that we are local, we're live,
mm-hmm.
we care about what happens here in Houston because we live here. We're not phoning it in from Hotlanta.
No.
Or New York or Los Angeles, you know. When we play music, you know, the music you heard tonight.
It's by queers.
By queer artists. Imagine that.
Yeah.
We can sing, and we're not just Elton John.
You know. So that number is 713-526-5738.
And, you know, we don't discount. You know, it's not that we're discounting Elton John or Melissa.
No.
Or any of the big name commercial ones.
And also, I'd like to jump in here and say that, you know, where else are you going to get this kind of education?
You're not going to hear about PEP from any other station in this city. I'm telling you, folks.
You're sure enough not going to hear about anything about bi issues either.
No. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. I mean, you hear gay stuff here and there, but bi stuff is like...
Stuff you're not going to hear anywhere.
Or foreskin restoration.
Yeah.
Or,
boy, have we talked about that.
Or anal sex. Or
that's right.
Oral sex, or
we tell you exactly how to do it
and safer sex. I have to throw that in.
That's right. Now you have someone waiting online.
Yes, we do, and you're listening to the bisexual segment. We're doing an interviews with PEP counselors tonight.
Okay.
People exchanging power.
Right,
and we have Savannah on the phone. Can you bring her on?
Hello, Savannah.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to After Hours.
How are you, Gigi?
Doing good. This has been such a good show so far.
I've been listening to Kaylee and to Maria.
Yeah.
And it's been really good. It's been interesting. It's actually been educational. It's taught a lot of people that don't know what it's about.
Yeah.
What it is about.
Because I know it's real easy to pick up a magazine and read an ad about something like PEP and kind of go, well, I wonder what this is, you know, but never really get to the heart of it.
Right.
So part
of
why I wanted to do this show is to kind of bring the heart of PEP out.
Right. You know, you have people that call sometimes who have read an ad, and honestly, they don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
They're really confused about BDSM or even about being bisexual.
Or gay or lesbian.
Or gay, right. And they'll call, and once they can be afraid to call. And once they do and you talk to them and you just sit back and you relax with them, and as Maria was saying, have them relax, then they can open up so much better. Once they do, they go all over the place with it.
Oh, yeah.
They bring up things that they didn't even think about as being something that was actually involvement in BDSM, such as a spanking. You know, you have a lot of people that call, they like to be spanked, but they don't consider that a part of BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, it is.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's a kink. They can look at it as being kinky, but when it comes to giving it the title of BDSM, they don't understand that part.
Well, you're kind of touching on a question I was going to ask you about.
Okay.
I know that a lot of times when someone says BDSM, you know, you get this kind of vision of extreme measures, dungeons and equipment and hardcore stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, BDSM doesn't have to be about that.
No,
it can
it
be
does.
A very wide spectrum. Can you talk a little bit about that?
BDSM can be very sensual. It can range, I mean, there are people out there who do enjoy things harder than others or more of something than someone else would enjoy. But there's a range. It can go from spanking to paddling to whipping. And there's different degrees depending on each person. Everyone's different.
Mm-hmm.
And they can desire or handle a harder spanking, for example, than the next person can. And a lot of people, you know, I've had people call me and say things like, you know, I don't want to be beat up.
Yeah.
Well, it's not about beating anyone up. You know, it's not like you're going out into the streets and being mugged. And a lot of people feel that way, you know.
Yeah.
We have no reason in this world to want to beat anyone like that and put them in the hospital, you know. It's supposed to be about...
And BDSM doesn't even have to include any type of physical contact.
Not.
Sometimes
Absolutely
it can
not.
Be just a dominance submissive
right.
scene in the sense of being told what to do and or get into an age play.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
You know, some people will feel that if they're into BDSM, they have to be into every aspect of it, and it's just not the case.
Yeah.
Some people enjoy pain. Some people enjoy different levels of pain, as I was saying. Some people are into bondage. Some people are not into any of it. You know, it is simply the dominance, being dominated verbally.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone doesn't like bondage. Everyone doesn't like pain. And you don't have to. It's always different with everyone.
I think one of the things, you know, because we live in such a sex-negative society, I think one of the things that BDSM offered me early on was the permission to do certain things because someone told me to do it.
Sure.
And all of a sudden it felt okay because it wasn't just something in my head anymore.
That's right. I'm the same way. There are things... I would be a switch, okay? I would be what is called a switch, which means I can enjoy being dominated by women and enjoy dominating men and women, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that I wouldn't ordinarily do myself, but if I'm told to do it by a certain one, I can do it without blinking an eye.
Yeah.
And when you do things, when I'm in that position, and I think everyone is... It has to do with your trust level, the respect that you have for that person, knowing that you're safe with that person.
Yeah.
And when you know these things, the deeper you can go into it because you know that you're taken care of all the way through it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you can't trust the person that you're playing with, you better find someone else to play with.
And one of the things that I've, you know, that I'm adhere to in my life when I play is not just the scene itself, but also the pre-scene where you do some negotiating, and then the after scene where you help the person come back down. The aftercare.
Absolutely, the pre-sceneing, you can go over things like certain limits. Okay, where for one person, something may be a hard limit, which is something that they have no desire in getting involved with, or something they do not enjoy. There are some that the limits can be pushed, okay? Something that they might not even enjoy with one person, if they find the right person for them, they may enjoy it with that person, okay? And then It goes into, again, to how much of it you can take.
Yeah.
And pushing the boundaries without stepping over the hardest limits, and that's going to be where they're not happy with what you're doing.
Yeah. And I think that's an art.
It is. But like I said, you know, it has a lot to do with the trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you trust someone, and then you can take things to a deeper level.
Well, one of the things I'd like to bring up that we haven't yet about PEP is that we do have some trained psychotherapists. Well, not psychotherapists, hypnotherapists.
Hypnotherapists, we do.
And
I have a website for you on that.
Ah, great.
Okay. It is amazinghypnotica.com. It's AmazinghypnotiCa.com.
Can you talk a little bit about what the hypnosis is about?
I'm not a hypnotherapist.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't think any of the three counselors I've talked to tonight were, but...
Right.
But what you do know about it?
Hypnosis, what I know about it, again, it's that safe place. It's a place where that person can lead you to where you have... It's total relaxation and total trust. It can bring you, it can make you very happy. It can make you bring out things that you wouldn't ordinarily talk about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I've had a session before with one of the ladies and, you know, sit there and cry. But it was really good for me because I needed it. And I think we all get to a point to where we do need that. It can be addictions. You know, they can counsel you through addictions, through obsessions, obesity. They can help you with not smoking. And just all different types of areas, even with BDSM.
Yeah.
Because they can help walk you through being comfortable with yourself and accepting yourself, which... Until you accept yourself, how can you get anyone else to accept you?
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, I think the other thing that comes up a lot of times is that, you know, a lot of times we're afraid or we're so stressed out and tensed out that it becomes very difficult to get into any activity. And so when you can get into a hypnotherapy session, it can help you to relax and kind of let the stress go.
It does. You know, I never thought that I would be one who would feel that I could ever be hypnotized. Okay? And I found that to be incorrect. And it's a feeling of, I don't really know how to explain it, but a lightness. It's like everything around you, it disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And you're totally focused on that one thing and that one person and what you are thinking about, and you're saying exactly what you feel. And it's amazing. It really is. But there's a lot of, there's some articles, you know, about what hypnosis is and about seminars, the difference. You know, the different areas that the ladies focus on at the website that I gave you at AmazingHypnotica.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that can really tell a whole lot about it.
Yeah. Well, you're in Alabama, correct?
I am.
Ah.
I am.
Deep South.
Yeah, but I do love Houston.
Oh, yes, I know Houston. And I haven't been to Alabama before, but I know how the South is. And
well, it can be different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it can be a whole lot different. Even Houston can be a lot different from places, say, like New York and
yeah.
You know, places up north. So... You know, we all have to handle how we go about things and just take it one step at a time. And then before you know it, you're just doing what you do and it doesn't matter no matter where you are.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so, you know, I know a lot of, the reason I bring up the Deep South is that we do have a lot of people in very remote locations throughout the country mm-hmm. where there won't be a support group any, you know, within 200 miles.
Right.
Fortunately, in Houston, we have some, but there are areas where that just isn't available.
Right. I get a lot of calls, Gigi, where people are looking for groups that they can go to, parties that they can go to in different areas where they're either new and they don't know about it or there's just nothing right there at them. And I do a lot of research trying to find places for these people so they can know where they can go and be accepted and where they can go and be comfortable, where they can go and learn more.
And I think one of the things, though, is that, you know, with the internet and with the phone service such as PEP, that gives people another vehicle for access.
It does. A lot of people that you talk to, there are people who can't get out in public for one reason or another, whether it's they're afraid of who they're going to run into. You know, there can be doctors or lawyers that they don't want to be seen at things, and they can call us and still talk about their desires.
Mm-hmm.
And they can even, at some point, they have been known to feel safe enough to go to these meetings. Not always, but sometimes they'll see that, you know, no one's going to be there that's going to want to hurt them, you yeah. know, or to cause them any type of problems in their personal life. And it goes back to trusting. You know, when you trust people, when you trust the group, then it's a whole different story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but privacy is very important to all of us in many different ways. And, once that's accepted, then they can venture on out a little more and a little more. Some people, they have no need. You know, they don't want to go to things like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you have a person that calls, and they'll tell you right up front, what I feel is something that I only have a fantasy about. They don't want to experience it real time. It's every bit fantasy only, and you have to respect that.
Yeah,
you know, I do respect that.
You touch on something
that
I've noticed about PEP. There's two types of fantasy calls. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Two types?
Well, more than two, but two basic types in the sense of, I guess what I'm getting at is a fantasy where it just stays purely in the head. And then a fantasy where you act it out.
Hmm. The fantasy that stays purely in the head. I mean, it can go from every range. It can be a person fantasizes about cross-dressing or fantasizes about anal sex
mm-hmm.
or fantasizes about being whipped or wearing clamps. You know, and using the different toys that we do enjoy. And
that's where I think doing a phone fantasy session, a counselor...
That's where you can lead them out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, you can tell them, now go over, get your wife's lipstick that she left laying there, and put it on, and just see how it makes you feel. And they can do that a lot of time. Many times they do it. And then the next thing you know, they'll be dressing up. And
that would be kind of a realistic, you know, that would be yeah. kind of taking that next step. But the other side is that you can just keep it all in the head and have someone to talk to about it.
Sure. Sometimes taking that next step is the fact that they called and wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because, as they were saying earlier, Maria mentioned, you know, people a lot of times are afraid to talk to people about their desires. And they're taking a huge step when they call us.
Yeah.
And actually verbalize it, because a lot of times once you verbalize something, well, it's just not as bad as it seems, is it?
Mm-mm.
You know?
Well, let me ask you this, Savannah. What drew you to PEP?
Oh.
And to being a phone counselor?
Several years ago, I started my own mailing list about it. It mostly touched on safety and abuse and the difference and everything. And it grew into hundreds of people, just an online mailing list.
Yeah.
It attracted the newbies many times. And I was with someone that told me about PEP. I didn't know about PEP, a pro-dom that I knew. And so I contacted them. I wasn't happy with the job I had. And I contacted PEP. I've been with PEP for going on 5 years. And, you know, I love it. You know, the fact that everybody, anyone who calls you, they're reaching out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we all need to be needed in our own way, and I enjoy being needed in that way as well.
Yeah.
But the lady that I knew, she told me about PEP, and I've just gone from there with it.
I know some of the phone work I've been doing since I've come on with PEP, one of the things I like about PEP is that I get into the scene totally, and I'm able to get off with the client.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any experiences like that for you?
Sure, there have. What a lot of people enjoy, and I'm not going to say I don't, is a double call. I have some clients who enjoy my being dominated on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
They love the female thing, and it just so happens I can do that. And that's when I am totally controlled, and I'm doing exactly what I'm told to do, and it goes from there.
Yeah.
You know, you can either, you know, take it all the way, or you can be told by that person that you're not going to. And, you know, therefore, how do we want to put this, Gigi? Your orgasms are controlled.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And that can be very, very exciting and very frustrating in itself. But we can enjoy the clients,
mm-hmm.
you know, totally.
I know that in the gay and lesbian community,
mm-hmm.
A lot of the community is in the closet about BDSM, or some of it.
You know, a long time ago, when I was, the first time I ever lived with a woman, we lived together, you know, we enjoyed the things that we enjoyed. I was in my early 20s. And it went anything from spanking to a little bit of bondage to fisting,
mm-hmm.
okay? Or one being more in control than the other over whichever type of situation that came around. And I never looked at it, honestly, as BDSM, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then here I go to the Internet some years later, and I find this whole little community about S&M. And I find all this about fisting and spankings. And I'm like, oh, my. I didn't even realize that that's what I was into. And it's gone from there.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, what advice would you give to a bisexual or lesbian woman that's has these feelings but's never explored it.
Try it. You know, I mean, it's as simple as that. Have your partner just start out lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're interested, if you have an interest in being spanked, have her start out lightly. Build it up. Okay, and just take it from there and go with it.
Because I think that is so important. I mean, it's kind of like you can always build up, but if you hit too hard, you can't take it back away.
Exactly, and it can ruin every bit of it, okay?
Uh-huh.
You can build up, but if you go in at it with a bang, then you can mess up everything and scare the person, and they won't ever try any of it again.
And maybe scare yourself.
Oh, that's true. And it does happen. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I've been in situations before where people want to be paddled or whipped or spanked. We'll say paddled harder than what I think they need to be because they will be new.
Yeah.
And
I think there's also
need to back off.
Yeah. I think there's also this element of, you know, we have a picture in our mind of what we can take.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not real.
A whole lot different. No. It's a whole lot different when you take it to real time or the reality of it. It's a whole lot different than the fantasy when it comes to that.
Yeah.
In your fantasy, you can take it to many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you try it in person, it does become totally different. You see that you can't take it as far to the extreme right off as you can in your fantasy.
Yeah. I'm getting the wrap-up sign.
Okay.
Can you give us your contact information?
My contact information, my home number is 251-650-2203. And also, we have 505-342-8000, which was mentioned earlier, and 908-284-8040 is another number to call and get a listing of the ladies. And we have two other websites that we haven't mentioned, and that is enemalove.com. It's enemalove.com. And also nancyavamiller.com.
Yes.
NancyMiller.com.
Well, Savannah, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you, Gigi.
It's been wonderful.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Nice. Some good interviews tonight, Gigi.
Oh, well, thank you. And, of course, I need to give out my number if anybody wants to call me. It's 713-429-5049.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Gigi.
Oh, you bet.
So,
wow, the time flew.
It does, didn't it, though? Didn't it, though? We did get a wonderfully generous pledge while you were on the air from Alex.
Alex is king!
And brought us very, very close to our goal, but not quite.
Just to the preface.
Not quite. We could use another pledge. 713-526-5738. Put us over our goal for tonight. Sure would appreciate that. You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Coming up at the top of the hour is the Lee DiBala Show with Lee DiBala. Miss Mickey's here tonight, and he's going to play a lot of your favorites. You know he does every week. So when you call in with that request for music, you can call in a pledge to his show, too.
And remember, you know, we here at After Hours, we're not the high-paid professionals.
No.
Not bloody likely. We're here out of a sense of, you know, purpose for our community
mm-hmm.
and duty and honor and all the other stuff. And
because that this station is generous enough to give us the time to put on Gigi and the PEP folks and Hatch and all of the other segments you listen to, plus all of the queer music that you wouldn't probably hear anywhere else except here.
Yeah.
What have we got playing in the background?
That is the
Frustrated
Housewives with Boys Like Me. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't start off as a queer song, but, you know.
No, but boy, when a bunch of men do it.
Yeah, one of these days we're just going to do a cover song difference there, you know. Jeff Krasner, Son of a Preacher Man.
Yeah.
There's got to be some lesbian out there that sung Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter.
Oh, yes, Frank, the folk singer. So,
yeah, I mean, that's just sort of the thing we do, you know. It doesn't have to be the openly gay.
No.
You know, it's just that little thing, you know, you hear the song and, you know, I can put on Jeff Krasner, Son of a Preacher Man, and, you know, I can put that on in front of my dad.
Yeah.
Who listened to that kind of music.
And would love
it. And loves that kind of music. And, you know, it probably wouldn't register, you know.
Much.
Just kind of slips under the radar.
Yeah.
Until maybe afterwards I'll point out, hey, Dad, you notice that was a guy who sung that song? Then, you know. Sometimes it's subtle, you know. Sometimes we have to, you know, kind of slip under the radar.
Yeah,
and pop up.
Then we have stuff like Pansy Division,
yeah,
or a rainbow.
Which is a hand grenade.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we just pull the pin and throw. Which
queer punk.
God,
queer
that describes
rap.
Some of our shows.
I know. 713-526-5738. You've got a minute and a half to give us a call with your pledge of support and put us over our goal tonight.
And, you know, you're listening to KPFT,
mm-hmm,
and so, you know, whether you like what we say on this show, whether you disagree with everything we say, you know, if you're listening to the station, you got to at least believe in the right that, you know, we're giving you the information you need.
That's it.
We got, you know,
that's
we're
it.
Not going to sugarcoat some of this stuff.
No.
Well, we do once Lee walks in here because we don't want to scare
Lee
him.
Lee has walked in here. Big Daddy is in the house.
If he was walking into certain, some of our, I'm sort of afraid there when I start, when I see the pickup truck start to back up in here, it's like, okay.
Okay, here we go.
Time to switch to Will and Grace thing there. Let's clean it up a little bit. Change the what's on the screen. KPFT Houston, 90.1 and 89.5 in Galveston. This is Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. It is membership drive. Last 20 seconds to call into after hours, and after that we flip the phones over and you get to play for all the Zydeco and Polka.
Oh, I know it.
The music you squeeze.
That's right. I love that squeeze box music.
All squeezable music?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's all got heck of
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.